It's so stupid. It's the dumbest thing.
Golly.
You really treat that you start to treat that person like they're your enemy, even though they have done nothing but you've done nothing but be there for each other, arguably, but you're like, you're my enemy.
Yeah.
So you just start trying to be right, and it's but then at the same time you're like conflicted because you're still trying to be nice to them once in a while, and you like you still want to have sex, so you want to try to be nice to them and hopefully get that. It's just it's a fucking shitstorm.
One is the loneliest number one is the loneliest number.
Well, hello, everybody. How are you? Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. For this episode, should I just start with that? Yeah, for this episode, I talked to my friend Kevin Christie. On Twitter, he's at Kevin G. Christie, with a Y. And we talked about what it's like being in a horrible, soul-crushing relationship. He was in one for the last, I don't know how many years, and he just broke up like a year ago. And he's alone for the first time. I don't know what this is really about. Maybe it's about serial monogamy, but I don't really think so. It's just sort of about loneliness. He's going through, he's trying to figure it out. I'm just so stoked being single now. I just finally embraced it to the point where I'm just like, I enjoy it. I enjoy coming back to my own apartment and doing what I do, just being filthy, just doing nothing. And I'll see girls once in a while, but I just enjoy my singleness. I enjoy not having any responsibility towards anybody. So anyway, Kevin is coming to terms with where he thinks he needs to be in life as a man. And some of it I disagreed with, and some of it I agreed with, and some of it was kind of interesting to me in terms of ways of thinking. So it's not really a funny episode. It's more of a fun... what's the opposite of funny? Unfunny? It's not super sad, though. There's no tear jerking. It's more of just thoughts on relationships in general and how to make them work. He's been in them longer than I have, so he would know better than me. Speaking of having my own place... Oh, by the way... real quick, this episode is sponsored by Amazon.com. If you shop on Amazon, go to my website, AriTheGreat.com, where you can also find tour dates and merchandise. But go there, and there's an Amazon link right at the top right-hand corner, not on mobile devices. I have a new mobile browser, so you can look on your phone. But if you go to Amazon.com and click on the Amazon link, and it takes you to Amazon or the other link, Amazon.ca, for Canadians... terrible impression. Then you just do your regular shopping and I get percentage back. They give me some like 5% back or whatever you shop for. It's out of their end. It's not out of your end. So just keep doing whatever you do. But just, you know, use my site to do your Amazon shopping on. And a good way to do it, to remember, because I forget sometimes to do my own Amazon shopping through my site, is bookmark my site, bookmark AriTheGreat.com as Amazon. Like, mark it, save it as Amazon. So then when you click it, it'll just go to my website, and you can click on the Amazon link. So, those of you who have already been doing that, thank you very much. And that brings me to what I wanted to say, is that I found an apartment in New York. I'm really happy about it. It took me days of looking. I worked with a few different brokers. I fucking looked online myself, and I was starting to give up being able to find anything. They're all such shitty, small, little nothing places. Little half... fridges and no kitchen with a bed right next to it for $2,000 a month. Oh, they were just also bad. Like, I don't want to live here for fucking $500 a month. I don't want to live in this. They weren't that bad, but they were close. A lot of them were close. There was one where the toilet and the shower were in separate rooms. There was one where a shower was in the room, in the common room. Oh, just such small places there. Anyway, though, I found a place in the East Village. Just on the edge of the East Village in Alphabet City. So I'm really happy about it. It's a 27-minute walk to the Comedy Cellar. Right in my range. So on a warm day, I want to be able to walk home. And you guys that have shopped on Amazon and helped me through my site and stuff, and those of you who have bought my album, Passive Aggressive, that's available now on chill.com/Ari for just $5. Well, actually, those of you who have done that just supported the special itself. But those of you who've done the shopping on Amazon and stuff and bought merch for my website, that's supported this dream of going to do comedy in New York. So it's going to happen in April. I'm going out. I've got the K-Rock. What is it called? The April Foolishness Show will be my biggest show I've ever done. 5,000 people, some charity show. Bill Burr's doing it. Jay Moore's doing it. Brad the Midget's doing it. So I'll stay for that. And then I think I got the next weekend in San Diego. And then I'm gone. I think I'm gone right then before the 420 shows in Seattle and Olympia. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah. So you're going to pay for that dream. Thank you guys very much. I'm going to be a comedian in New York. I'm going to try to get into all the clubs out there. I'm going to do all the little rooms in Williamsburg and around town. If you're a comic and you run a show out there, if it's not actually in a bar, if it's in a separate area room, kind of like the way Cabin runs, I'm down. Hit me up. I'll do your show. If anybody knows any leads to get into the clubs, the comic strip, the cellar, I'll figure out whenever. But yeah, I would appreciate your help. Thank you. And speaking of help, I want to do this before I go. Let me do my dates real quick. But I want to do this for the comedians of Los Angeles. Here's my next dates. I'm in Montreal this weekend with Rogan. No one's going to... It's already sold out. I'm in Vancouver at the Comedy Mix, 21st, 22nd, and 23rd of March. And then I've got that K-Rock show on April 6th. And then San Diego at the American Comedy Company, the 11th, 12th, and 13th of April. Seattle on the 20th at the Parlor Live, and then straight from there, I'm going to Olympia also that night on April 20th. The 420 show in the Parlor in Seattle is a 420 in the afternoon show, and then there's an 8 p.m. show at some place, at some dispensary. The tickets are on my website, or available on my website, but I should find out what it is, actually. And it's gone. Nope. Eventful? Maybe it's this. Olympia, yeah, at the Urban Onion in Olympia. So it's sponsored by some dispensary. What is it? Was it by Tony Roberts? I don't know. Anyway, so there's that show. That's on 420. And then that's when I think I'm going to go, before that week or after that week. And then I got Moon Tower, the Moon Tower Comedy Festival in Austin. The festival is the 24th through the 27th, the 28th. I don't know when I'm going to be there. I do know I'm doing storyteller shows on the 26th and 27th of April. So it'll be a bunch of great comics. I know one, at least we're doing one topic, will be drugs. So it'll be all comics talking about drugs. And then another topic, maybe heartbreak, maybe sex, maybe road stories, maybe Americana because it's in Texas. I don't really know, but I need a second topic. And then I'll book all the comics that are already there. Hopefully Bill Burr will do it. He's always great. He's going to be there. May 9th, I'm going to be in Phoenix at Stand Up Live with Joey Diaz. One show only. Man, that's it. That's all I got. I'm trying to plan a tour for Australia in October. I'm going to be there for the Sydney, Just for Laughs Sydney Comedy Festival. And then I'm trying to stay there for an extra month after that. If anybody knows Kylie Sparrow, get on her about booking me and getting that shit done. And I'll probably be at the Chicago Festival June 14th and 15th. And then Shroom Fest is coming up June 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. Shroom Fest 2012 is coming up. So everyone, there's no tickets to get, but everyone be prepared. So here's what I'm going to do for the comedy community, because I'm so sick of no one telling any of us what we had to do. So for all the young guys at the store, let's pick a date. I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to answer all your questions. Nobody tells us anything. Nobody tells us where to hang out or how to fucking get an agent or how shit happens in this business in comedy. So I can't tell you how to succeed, but I can tell you some stuff about what you'll need to know. So any of the young guys at the store, let's do it on a Sunday when you guys are all there anyway. How about this? How about Sunday, April 7th? I'm in town that day. Yeah, that'll totally work. Sunday, April 7th. We'll do it at like, let's say 5 p.m. in the main room. And if they don't let us use the main room, it should be a nice day. We'll go outside in the back parking lot. We'll do it there. Come with any questions you have about Hollywood I'll answer the honest truth on every single one of them. Not what they want you to hear, what everyone's always told you, but the fucking real truth of it all. Like, it's important that people know you and become friends with you. And you'd like to be all about stand-up, but it's not about that. It's about hanging out at the improv. So go down there and be fucking friendly with these people, and that's the people who are going to represent you later. They always told us, it's like, oh, just do a good job and everyone will come calling. That's just not true. That's just not enough. A good job is on top of that. Anyway, so yeah, I feel bad. Jay Oakerson did this for his for some new comics in New York, and I feel like I should do the same thing with all these LA guys, especially the guys at the store, the employees and stuff. So spread the word, I guess, to all the young comics. If you have any questions, come with them. No dumb questions. Don't ask questions just to be heard, just to be like, oh, I want to ask my question. Ask questions about what you really want to know. And I'll be happy to answer for you. I'm sure somebody's going to end up asking the same question as five other people because they're like, well, I want to be the one asking. But just fucking listen to the answers. I want to help you. Why am I already mad at these people? All right, so April 7th. Let's do that. Remind me. But April 7th. I'll put it in my calendar right now. Comedy. What should I call it? I don't know. Tutoring? Anyway, so let's start the episode. So, Kevin Christie, is there something else? Oh, check out All Things Comedy. I'm on All Things Comedy. Comedy Podcast Co-op. All right, whatever. Let's just start. So, this episode is all about, you know, figuring out how to make a relationship work. It's about loneliness, and maybe all the songs will be about loneliness. Yeah, that's what I'll do. All the songs will be about loneliness. But this is really about making relationships work and what Kevin has learned about what he's done wrong, and really the point of learning is so that you can grow, and it seems like he has now figured out a little bit more of what might make him happy in a relationship. So it's all about, we'll discuss this later, it's all about finding that joy you used to have in dry humping, being that excited about a person. So ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 106, find your dry hump with Mr. Kevin Christie. Okay, we're starting.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
I was listening to that song today.
Yeah.
And I stopped and thought about, like, to what degree am I allowed to enjoy this song because of growing up in the suburbs? Like, I'm allowed to enjoy it, but not relate to it.
On an ironic level, you're allowed to enjoy it?
No, I don't. I enjoy it, like, thoroughly, but there's, like, a part of me that's like, I'm gangster, too. Like, no, I'm not. Like, but, like, nah. I wanna like, relate to it. I was, like, searching for anything in the lyrics that I could take as mine also.
Yeah.
I don't live in Houston in the Fifth Ward, so...
Which parts could you relate to?
A gangster keeps his mouth shut.
Oh, yeah, they're really big about not snitching on people.
Just not, it wasn't even about snitching so much. It was just like, keep your mouth shut. Like, don't talk about what you do. Don't be telling people what you do all the time. Because if you really do stuff, you don't have to say nothing.
Well, how does that relate to that Boost Mobile app where it says, where you at? That was all geared towards black people. All the ads were black people.
There's nothing more like dastardly to me than culturally directed marketing. It's just the weirdest.
McDonald's is big on that.
Oh, McDonald's is the biggest. Because it's not, you know, they don't hire a bunch of like black ad executives to tell them what to do. Like, hey, no, this is how to market towards black people. They have a bunch of white guys do it. Yeah. So it's just this weird, messed up version of it. Like, it's just them like telling stories about what they heard black people like.
Yeah.
Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's all it is. That's why David Letterman wrote for Good Times, or What's Happening.
Yeah.
They're just like, get a white guy who sort of knows.
I guess.
From Indiana.
I guess. But yeah, it feels really creepy. Like, it's like, oh, that you see the black McDonald's commercial during NBA games.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They even, like, air them at the right times?
Yeah. They direct marketing. That's the real truth.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess McDonald's always selling a party. That's what I remember from my at commercial acting class.
Yeah. It's not always selling a party.
It's not burgers, not cars. Like, they're selling specific types of things.
Yeah, you're selling us an experience.
So, like, when they do, like, what are those? It won't come up.
The camaraderie. There's a ghetto bird above us.
Ghetto bird?
Ghetto bird.
He's always looking for criminals.
This neighborhood's transitional.
He said, like, what do they sell? Like, it was like Infinity. It was like they're selling class.
Yeah.
It's not selling a high-end sports
car. You're very rarely selling the product. You're selling the feeling you get from the product.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. So then you're supposed to exude that, whatever they're selling.
People try to buy things that help define them. Mm-hmm. I'm this type of person. I'm a J. Crew kind of guy.
Oh, wow, yeah.
I'm a Mercedes guy. I'm a Subaru Outback guy.
I love Apple.
I'm a Volvo guy. Yeah, I'm an. Yeah. You see those people that put the Apple sticker on their car?
Yeah.
And you're like, wow. You want everyone to know that you use this computer.
Not only do I love this brand, I'm going to continue loving this brand no matter what shitty products they come out with.
When I see that, I'm just like, man, you got tricked by a business.
Yeah, it is.
You straight up brainwashed yourself. I mean, seriously, like, you're letting them win to that degree?
Yeah.
It's like I have Apple products, but there's still a part of me that wants to throw a brick through a Mac store.
They've gotten way worse.
That factory where they make them, they have to put nets outside the window for people to try to kill themselves. There's nets outside the windows to catch the suicide attempts.
People jump out.
Yeah.
Just jumping out. Mm-hmm. Can't they then, once they hit the net, can't they get over the net?
I'm sure, but maybe I bet you an alarm goes off. There's a sensor.
Maybe.
Got to be a sensor.
Maybe they push them down in some chute of like balls and things. You know, like McDonald's play.
Yeah, to make it fun.
Yeah, so it's like, hey, before you go.
You land in a Chuck E. Cheese ball pool.
I know you can just try this again, but here's a ball pool.
Yeah, like, wasn't it fun to make you forget?
Can't life.
Yeah.
And so why do they commit suicide?
Because the working conditions are so terrible.
I thought it was because they know they can never design something better than this, and so this is their life goal coming to a close.
No, they live, the factory's like a town, so they live there.
I love how white people are all up in arms about slave labor until it has to do with something they actually buy.
And
oh, what? Oh,
which, by the way,
costs too much, so forget it.
You know what pollutes worse, almost so terribly, is the lithium batteries they put in a Prius.
Really?
Yeah, but white people love that Prius.
They love it.
They love it.
Gas mileage, they love saying
so just ignore the lithium battery pollution.
I remember, who's the vegan guy from the Beatles still alive?
Paul McCartney?
Paul McCartney got, oh man, they're going to have a parade for him when he dies.
Oh, dude.
That's going to be, you're talking
about
months.
That's going to be a month.
Yeah.
Easy month.
He's the last big one. I mean, George Harrison's still around and Ringo.
No, Harrison died. It's just Ringo and Paul.
And Ringo, they won't care. Hopefully Ringo dies first.
Ringo, they'll care.
They'll care, but it's not as much.
You know Ringo outlasts Paul.
You think he will?
Oh, guaranteed.
Because he hasn't lived the hard life.
He doesn't live the hard life. Way less stress.
Yeah. Yeah, then I guess when he dies, I'll do everything again.
Yeah.
Last surviving Beatle.
The thing is, Ringo will be the last surviving Beatle. So even if Ringo will be, that'll be his best time as a Beatle when he's the last surviving Beatle.
Oh, right. Then he'll do a bunch of interviews and stuff.
Yeah. Because he'll be the last one, and no matter what you thought of him, he's the last one.
So people are like, you're the first-hand knowledge we have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, he got an electric car.
Yeah.
In India, one of those Tatas or something.
Yeah, but they flew it to him for free.
On a helicopter.
They sent it on a giant plane.
Yeah,
and
more
the
than
carbon,
like,
the carbon pollution outweighed any benefit. He'd have to drive it for like 30 years.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah. All that stuff's bullshit anyways. It's too late. You can't. There's a hole in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
We poked a hole in the sky. You can't fix that. It's too late.
Yeah.
If you listen to any climatologist on TV, they always start out like, well, we can do nothing. I mean, unless we act immediately, which means like 30 years ago. When they say if we act now, they mean 20 years ago.
It's just too late.
Yeah, it's too late.
The best you can do is hope that hole doesn't get bigger and bigger.
The hole is getting bigger right now.
So you just have to slow it down.
Well, because the biggest countries now, China's one of the biggest polluters in the world.
And they're not listening.
They're not listening. And why would they? Why do we get to tell them?
Doesn't the ozone hole just like, doesn't it, like, bubbles where it feeds together with the other bubbles and it just sets over, like, the South Pole, the North Pole?
It's a giant hole that lets in stronger sunlight and it's melting the Earth.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, who are we as America who invented pollution, basically? Well, you know, the Western world. To tell them, like, you guys knock it off. They're like, oh, so we get to stay poor for another 100 years?
Is this the same shit as your copyright laws that we won't fucking respect either?
How about this? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. We want Looper now.
Yeah.
We're not paying anybody.
We're not waiting for Looper. I'm tired of waiting for Looper.
Their copyright laws really are like, oh, no, we don't. We'll get what we want.
Die Hard with a Vengeance took too long. We're not waiting that long for Looper.
Yeah.
We love our Bruce Willis over here in China.
What was I going to tell you? I don't know. It's so nice out today.
It is. Is this your first outside podcast?
No, I've done a bunch.
Okay, cool.
I love them, though.
Yeah, it's fucking so ideal. Yeah, we're winning.
Yeah.
Almost every other
it
place
winter,
in the country
right?
is... Yeah. Every other place in the country is not as nice as this right now.
This might be the fastest podcast I've ever recorded to put up.
Okay.
I'm
so we can really be current.
Oh, yeah.
What's up with that daylight savings time, guys?
Yesterday, yeah.
Dude, women
Why do
be shopping.
Still have that?
It's dumb.
Why do we still have it?
It's a waste for farmers.
But why do they even... So what is it? When is daylight savings? When are we in the right time?
It's
when are we in the wrong time?
It's the idea is that it gives farmers more hours to farm.
When? In the summer?
I don't know.
So are we now back in regular time?
I think so. That's why it goes back. Maybe they harvest in some... No. I think it's starting now, so you have longer days in which they can work. So the harvest season is beginning, and the days are shorter during winter when they're not harvesting.
But doesn't it just like... If it would be 5 a.m., now it's 6 a.m., so you just work later.
An hour, yeah. But you can't do that stuff in the dark.
So it's just start later.
I don't know, dude. It's dumb. It's definitely dumb.
Yeah. Just let the farmers choose, like, hey...
Arizona doesn't do it.
Arizona doesn't do it. Nope. I love that. Except it gets confusing when you're there when the time they're off.
Yeah.
It's just so dumb. Whatever.
There's a lot of stuff like that.
But, like, none of us want it, except the farmers. And I thought it was for the war effort.
I don't know.
Didn't it start in the wartime?
We should call this podcast The Uninformed. We call this podcast Conjecture.
Don't know.
I don't know. I heard this one time.
Well,
this one dude told me on the streets.
Well, yeah. That's where people get a lot of their information.
Yeah.
From some guy once told me.
There was a blog.
I went off. I told my agent. I was like, he was talking about Gotham, the comedy club, Gotham.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, I heard the sound is bad. And he's like, haven't you played there? I was like, yeah, I played there a few times. The sound is great.
I played there. It was
what
really
one
good.
One comic said one time.
I remember it being ideal.
Yeah, it was great.
Nothing but killing. Everyone says it's a great club to play at. It's really easy.
Yeah. They do comedy juice there. It's pretty fun. I booked my own show last time. I called Baldinger, who books it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, can I do comedy juice when I'm there? He goes, yeah. I'm like, can Ren Azizi and Kurt Metzger and Big J also do it? Because I would like to hang out with them.
Because I would also like to hang out with them.
Yeah, but he replaced Big J, couldn't do it. He plays with Al Madrigal, which is perfect.
Also good.
So it was all a bunch of us, and Sandy Danto was there.
Win. I love that Sandy Danto.
Yeah.
I like that kid.
He's in New York now. He's got a girlfriend.
He's going to stay there?
He's going to stay there for like a month or two at a time.
That's
then
cool.
She's going to come visit him in L.A.
That's going
to
end.
Do you remember dating when you had like no money, so you had to like figure it out?
Yeah, you had to figure everything out.
Yeah,
like, I guess I'm going to wait. I'll wait to see you till I get $160 for a JetBlue ticket.
Her roommate wants him to pay rent if he's going to be there more than like a couple weeks.
That's fair. It's New York.
I guess so. But it's also like, what?
Sandy Danto, you can tell Sandy Danto doesn't look like a clean person.
No.
And so you're going to get a lot of hair in the drain.
Fat, hairy chested.
Yeah, he's not.
Hairy bellied.
You could say he's a little gross.
Yeah.
So that you're
you
adding
can get away with saying that
you're adding a smell to a small space.
Yeah,
that smell should get paid for.
There should be recompense.
There needs to be compensation for that smell.
When's the last time you had a long distance relationship?
The last one I was in was sort of long distance. She lived in Santa Barbara.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That was far to drive. That was annoying.
Dude,
huh?
Actually, really quite easy.
Why?
Hour 20 minutes.
That's a long way to go.
It's pretty fast.
I dated a girl from fucking Pasadena, and it was like, when are we going to...
Yeah.
What time you get off work? 5 o'clock. I don't want to drive there then.
It's hard. It's very hard. It definitely made it harder. It's harder.
Yeah.
It puts pressure on every time you see each other.
Let alone, like, Dallas or something.
Oh, dude, I can't even imagine. I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't imagine?
No, I wouldn't do that. It's too hard.
Yeah. You have to move.
If you're just joining us, we're about to talk about relationships.
Oh, yeah. This is Kevin Christie.
I'm Kevin Christie. I am an authority on long-term monogamy.
Yeah, you've always done that.
I have been in a relationship for a third of my life. Some kind of relationship. I go from long-term to long-term.
Yeah, when I met you, you had been in something for like a while.
Yeah, like 5 years.
Already had been in it.
Already been in it.
And how long did that end up lasting?
Another year. Stand-up kind of killed it.
Why? Because you were out
of it. I was just out all the time.
Oh, yeah.
That was 6 years.
Did she lose her job, too?
No, it was, like, you know, it was similar, transitional period.
Yeah. It's weird when you commit to somebody long term, and then you change slightly.
It's hard. When
you're like,
we've
already made this.
At certain ages, you're basically, there's a lot of faith you have to have, because you're both going to change, and you're going to wake up and want different things. You're dealing with a person in transition. So they're going to change their life plan, what they want to do with their life, what maybe they want to do as a job, and that has a lot of ripple effect on your life also.
Yeah. Yeah, because they don't become the same person anymore.
No, they're a different person.
Record this. Yeah, but why do people commit them forever? It's like they refuse
fear
to acknowledge
of,
the fact
fear
that
of loneliness.
Change.
Loneliness is very scary. I really think that loneliness is an epidemic. It's one of the saddest things I ever see. When I see like a guy,
yeah,
a very awkward looking person who's a little older, I pray that they have a wedding ring on. Because if they don't, I know it's just they're probably extremely lonely.
I always feel bad for people when they're alone, but yeah. Then at the same time, I'm like, I don't know why I feel comfortable being alone.
Yeah, but you can't judge other people by yourself, and also it's a lot different being a comedian. You have access to an extremely large social group that you can access at any given moment. You can just go to a comedy club, go to a comedy show, several
yeah,
of your friends
are there.
Even
from another town, I can find people that
yeah,
I can hang
for
out
sure.
with.
It's much harder on most people because their work is not indicative of being able to access that. You go to a job and then you go home.
We saw. Did you come with us to Raging Bull at the
no.
not the New Art, the New Beverly?
No,
they have these double features all the time.
Right,
sometimes
yeah,
they're really cool.
Yeah, Mike Black invites me to them.
Yeah, sometimes they're like some Japanese director or some other Japanese director. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know what this is supposed to be from the 40s. Come on, dude.
Some beautiful piece of art I don't care about.
Yeah, doesn't interest me,
nerd.
But is it set at 43? It is. But this was Raging Bull and Taxi Driver, I think. And
yeah.
Anyway, we were outside afterwards talking. And there was, did I ever tell you this?
Mm-mm.
There was some old guy.
Who just came up and started talking to you?
Yeah, and he's like, what'd you guys think? And we're like, oh, we loved it. It's been a while. And he goes, yeah, I first saw this in the movie theaters in 1970, whatever it was. I'm like, oh, interesting. And then we talked for a few minutes. And then he's like, all right, we're going to go. I think we're all going to go eat at like Mel's or something.
Right.
Or 69 or something. But like,
and he asked to join you?
No, he didn't ask to join us.
But you thought of asking?
Later. No, not even that.
Oh.
But he just walked away. And I remember thinking so sad. Like, this guy's probably his wife died. And he doesn't have anywhere to go out.
Yeah.
And he's just looking. Like, talk to some random
people. I mean,
people.
I spend a lot more time alone now than I used to.
Yeah, but then I thought, what? Maybe the guy's wife is alive. He just wanted to get out of the house.
There's a lot
she
of that too.
Do it. And I'm putting all these sad things on him, which have nothing to do. Also, it's the guy got out of the house and had to talk with some strangers about some cool movie.
Alone? There's a good way to look at that. But I mean, you never know.
I know, but you think of it like he goes back to his apartment or his house now, and he just goes, and he just sits and stares at the corner. But like, that's not really people's existence.
Or it
it's
is
movie shit.
It is also some people's existence.
Yeah, I guess so. That's
I
sad.
Mean, it's some. That's what it is. Some people's sad existence.
Yeah,
that's it's weird to me because I think about this a lot lately because I'm a lot lonelier than I used to be.
Oh,
and,
yeah?
Yeah. And there's so many people, and we're all quite lonely, a lot of us.
Yeah.
But yet we don't find a way to hang out with each other.
The lonely people.
Because we're so people have become too specific for what they'll hang out with. Oh, that's weird. They don't want to put themselves out there because it's too vulnerable. They'll get their feelings hurt. So instead, you're just resigned to staying lonely out of fear.
A fear of getting more hurt.
Yeah, more hurt. Or just being awkward in a weird situation, and now someone's in your life that you don't want there, and it's too much.
Yeah.
You know? But that's what I think keeps people in relationships, is because the alternative is pretty scary.
I feel like relationships are this, what I feel lately, that it's this thing you get into, this idea you get into when you're 16 to 24.
Right.
This idea of like, you're with somebody forever, and this romantic, awesome idea, and then as you learn, that's not really the case for anybody.
No.
Not even the married couples you find as like your role model. Like, I want to be like them. You realize, oh, they fight. They have shitty times, too,
and they
get sick of each other. But you're still stuck, having made this decision at 17, 18, that this is what, you know, fulfillment is.
Yeah.
And then you just keep trying to find that thing, which in your head you know is not possible.
Fulfillment is really, I think, a self-realized situation. You kind of have to fulfill yourself.
Yeah.
And if it's too, a person is too busy taking care of themselves to fulfill another person. And so if you're looking to get fulfillment from another person, you're fucked.
Yeah, you're fucked.
You're not going to get it.
It should be like, I like my life. I like where I live. I like my job. I like, you know, my friends that I'm with. And also, now I want to find a girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or I broke up, but hey, I've got all this nice house and friends and family.
Yeah.
But, okay, I'm no longer with this girl. That sucks. But it also sucks when, you know, your basketball team loses early in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, just like another thing you can't do anything about.
But, yeah, it's very, it's hard because you want someone to share life with.
Yeah.
To a certain degree.
So you had that. Twice you were sort of engaged,
yeah,
right?
Basically.
And then So what happened the first time? It just
the stand up thing. We were younger, so the it was just like our lives are kind of going in different ways.
Yeah.
And the stand up thing was like I was gone a lot, and she didn't like it. And I just decided, you know, this is something I have to get good at. So this is going to be what I do, and that's it. And then it just sort of fell apart from
it's
there.
Tough for people to see, to realize there's no compromise really, and like I have to be doing this every night I can.
It's the only way. It was the only way I could get good.
Yeah. The compromise was you can come with me if you'd like.
It wasn't even that. That wasn't an option. It was just like get used to this.
Yeah.
And she didn't want to, so she's a billion times happier now.
Yeah.
Husband, kid, cutest family you've ever seen.
I was asking my friend Kurt about that. He liked some girl and some comic. Mm-hmm. And I was like, remember when you liked her? And now he's with some super hot, super cool girl.
Yeah.
Karen something. Margulis. And then he was like, yeah, but it couldn't have worked out any better. Like, I'm super stoked now who I'm with, and I'm happy. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't want to be with her. I did then.
Yeah. Yeah, the goal pulse move.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like that stop and shot in basketball. Where it's like they put on a level where it moves back
things
and forth.
Your perception is, most people's perceptions is pretty like razor sharp, focused on what's happening right now as opposed to the whole future.
Yeah. So now, how long did you spend with the first girl?
6 years.
No, but how long did you spend when it was like already over?
And
you
probably a year. Stay in
it? A full year. Of
full
like,
year.
This isn't working, but you can't just say, oh, fuck you, it's over after one day.
Yeah, it's hard. A full year. Of it not working.
And so what do those days consist of?
They consist of...
Set up. You had an office, a living room, and a bedroom. And
they consist of avoiding each other.
Avoiding.
Basically, the last year of a relationship that's going to fall apart is both people staying away from each other and then awkwardly forcing togetherness that isn't that good and isn't that enjoyable.
What do you mean?
You hang out with each other because you feel obligated, and it's routine. Like you go out, and you know you do these things together, but you're not enjoying it as much as you once did. You
still feel forced to do it.
Yeah, you feel, because it's weird. You guys are a couple, and there's also a couple things you have to do. You got to go to people's birthday parties and baby showers and weddings and things. So you do this kind of stuff, but it's not enjoyable. You don't like it as much. You find yourself wanting to hang out with other people more.
Now, in a friendship situation, if this is just friendship...
Mm-hmm.
What you would do is you would hang out with that person less and hang out with this other person more.
Yeah.
Let's say you and I were friends, but then, I don't know, Steve Simone jumped onto the scene.
Right.
And I really liked him. And I
You would
like
hang out with me
more.
Less and hang out with Steve Simone more.
Yeah, and I wouldn't feel guilty about it or like, oh, fuck, I gotta... After enough time, if I missed you, I'd be like, hey, what's Kevin up to? I want to hang out with him again.
Right.
But it wouldn't be like, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You haven't called me in 2 weeks?
No, whereas like in a relationship, that shit becomes apparent after like 3 days.
After 3 days.
Yeah.
Where you're like...
Like we haven't talked, you know, it's like stuff like that.
Yeah, I was talking to Ashley about this.
Mm-hmm.
She has a separate room for Oliver to go to, and she has a separate area while she's home a lot.
Right.
But it's like, you got to have your own space.
You do a little bit, yeah.
Otherwise you just...
But then I also think, people always say that, like, you got to have your own space, but you also have to make an effort to do things together and enjoy it. You have to try harder to... find them time for themselves than they do to make the time they spend together with the person fun.
Yeah.
That's what I've realized after the fact of all my relationships crumbling.
Say that again then?
You need to like actually try a little harder to make things fun. With that person. Just try a little harder.
Shouldn't you have to try hard though?
No, okay. You do. Because in the beginning you don't have to try hard. But eventually it's gonna get less exciting just because you've been with them a while. That's not because they get less bitching, but you've seen the movie a lot. You've seen it 20 times. So you need to make an effort to make them feel good about remind them that you like them and that you think they're hot and that you're down to fuck and you still think they're cute and you're excited. You're still excited about being with them. Especially I think as the dude, it's important to I admire dudes that are good at reminding the woman they're with that, like, I still think you're hot as fire, and, like, you're still my girl, and that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think...
Kind of fuck a lot.
That's not even about fucking a lot. It's just making them feel desirable. Women catch so much shit from all sides about their looks.
So when a guy's like, I've already told you you're pretty.
What yeah, like, I told you you're pretty in 2009.
Yeah.
It's like, well, and it's 2013.
Yeah, I feel like that's one of the big reasons girls cheat, is because some new guy is going to show them a lot of interest. And you're like, I would, too, if I didn't already know you.
Yeah.
But I know you so well that
that's the effort. It's like, just try a little bit harder. I think you'd get what you wanted out of it. But people the problem with relationships is a relationship is bogged down by the minutiae of day to day life. especially if you live together.
Like what? Like, oh, we need more cereal.
Bills, cereal, sheets. Your mother's coming to town. We have to go do this thing. There's a wedding in Atlanta. Like, all this stuff. You spend 90% of your time dealing with that kind of garbage, which is boring and tedious, and you argue about it because it's stuff you barely have opinions on, so you differ. So it's garbage, and you fight over that stuff, and at the end of the day, you've spent all day kind of... I think Fitzsimmons said this, like, a marriage is basically a small nonprofit.
Why?
It's like, it's because it's like a bit, you have to run it like a business. There's all this kind of crap to take care of, like business crap, paper pushing and signing things and checks. Yeah. And then at the end of the day, it's like, oh yeah, but we're in love and we like think each other's hot. It's like, it's weird.
Yeah. Whenever people have these fantasies of like what it's going to be, let's say childbearing too, where it's like, the fantasy is me and my husband are going to be right there. I'm going to be holding on to this kid, this 2-year-old kid, and he's going to be in my arms, and it's just going to be a picture of a happy family.
Yeah.
And like, okay, now picture when the kid is 9 and you're both tired, and he's like, hey, I need help with my math homework. And you're like, oh, fuck. Just, Tony, can you do it?
Yeah, exhausted.
He's like, I don't know this stuff.
And the kid's 9, and in 3 years, he's going to start junior high, and we want to get him into the good one. The good one's $30,000, and where are we going to get that
$30,000? And that had nothing to do with what you liked about that guy in the first place.
That has nothing to do with the reason you saw that girl at a thing, and we're like, hey, girl.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with it. But you have to get through that stuff in a relationship, and it kills your energy to like be romantic with that person or be cute with them or say something nice or do something surprising.
Yeah.
You know, it can kill that stuff.
My first girlfriend, Kate Hicks, who won't talk to me anymore,
right.
She said she always thought living together was super unromantic.
It is.
And I went back and forth on it a few times, but it really is because it's just casual. You can just
casual. Hey.
Instead of having to make an effort to go out with somebody to do something.
I think living together breeds the resentment you have towards each other, and it creates a place where you can let it out, because it's once you live together, it's hard to break up. There's a lot of shit to do. So you realize you can be a lot meaner to this person because they're not going anywhere, at least not fast. You have a lot more time to fix things because it's a pain in the ass to leave. The last girl I dated, we broke up in like 4 minutes.
Because you hadn't been together.
There was like a series of bad, there was like a week that was just bad. We weren't getting along in a row. And it was like, this seems a little harder than it should be this early. And then we were broken up 60 seconds later. And then she left. And that was it.
What do you mean? You had a talk?
Yeah, we had a quick talk. And it was like, this seems to suck now. Yep, you're right.
She said that too?
Yeah. We both acknowledged
it. You were both avoiding it. If you hadn't brought it up, she wouldn't have brought it up either. Not in that moment anyway.
It just was like, this doesn't seem fun.
Yeah, so like, what are we doing?
But we didn't live together, so it was done quick.
The thing is, when you live with somebody, first of all, those are the worst breakups. When you live with somebody, break up, and then have to spend more time living there for 2-3 weeks till you find a place.
God, Ari.
When they go out with somebody else, like, you have to see that. That's the worst.
Dear Lord.
Did you do that with the last girl?
No.
2 girls ago?
No.
The one you were engaged to?
No. She moved out before we officially broke up to just, like, give each other some space.
I had that, too.
And then just stayed out. Yeah.
And we kept dating for a while.
Yeah. And then it was stayed away. And it was like, you know what? Let's just keep this.
Let's just call
it. The way it is. It's very hard, though. It's one of the harder things I've had to go through, for sure.
Man.
It sucks. It still sucks.
So how did you handle it with the first girl?
She actually left kind of quick. She was miserable. Like, she was more miserable than I was. And she was just like, I can't do this anymore. And she left.
She'd already planned it.
Yeah, she just went and lived with her brother.
Yeah, it's not like it was on her mind. She was like thinking about it, and then she's finally like, okay,
she's thinking about it. I think she realized this is not going to get better.
Well, the thing is, too, when you're with somebody, let's say you're with somebody for years, let's say you're with somebody for 3 years,
yeah,
and then you have a bad week,
yeah,
it's like, oh, I'm not just going to
You're weighing it against 3 years,
yeah.
But if you're with
somebody for 2 weeks and then it's one bad week, you're like, well, fuck it.
Yeah, if you're with someone 4 months and have a bad week, you're like, no.
Yeah, but then if you have about 6 months, 8 months, a year, then it becomes like, well, how long do I stay in this? I had a good 4 years, but the last year has been shitty.
Well, that's the thing. It took
a long
my
time.
Last real relationship and I had a long time to break up, because so much of the reason our last 2 or 3 years were hard, it had nothing to do with us necessarily. And so it was like, well, that was that. That wasn't about us.
Someone loses their job.
Yeah, someone loses their job or can't find a job or some people die. You're just like, that wasn't us, but it was like hard and it made our relationship harder. So you don't want to break up because of that.
Oh yeah, she was with you when your dad died, right?
Yeah.
So like, you got that going too.
Yeah. It turned me into a monster. And then it made it really, really hard. I turned into this awful, like, cold, robotic, mean person. And so, but it's like she can't leave then. Like, you're mean now. It's like, well, duh. She knew why.
Yeah.
She wasn't going to leave right away. She hung in there as long as she could.
To, like, get over it.
Yeah, she hung in there forever.
Yeah. Sean Halpin, when he broke up with his girlfriend for a long time, it was 8-9 years that they were dating. And then one of their parents died after that.
Yeah.
And she called him. She had reached out to him because she was like, well, you're a big part of my life. And you knew the guy.
Yeah.
One of the other, whichever one died, I forget.
Right.
But it was like, you should be part of this moment here with me.
Yeah,
help me.
For sure.
You know, or vice versa.
If one of my ex's parents died, I go to the funeral in a second. I don't even hesitate. For sure.
What about the last one?
Yeah.
The last one you just dated for 2 months? No way.
4 months.
4 months.
If she asked me to, I would.
If she asked you to, yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't.
How are you going to say no to anybody like that, though?
But I would like be like, if I found out, I'd be like, are you all right? Let me know if you need anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a real giver. I love to take... My therapist tells me I have this instinct to care for women.
Yeah. That's why
I really...
Some of us thought it was funny when the last girl had, like, physical problems.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, that's so great. You get out of this long-term relationship that you're engaged in and
okay,
go right
to someone
like
you can
physically
that ahead of
take
time.
Care of.
No.
Yeah, but the Dr. Drew theory is that everybody sort of knows.
I do, and I'm trying to not be like this, but there's something about... I like feeling like I'm necessary, like I'm needed, I guess.
Oh, wow.
She didn't have physical problems where I needed to do anything at all.
Well, really? Weren't you going to have to do that?
No, it was nothing like that. She was a normal, healthy person.
What was the problem then?
She had epilepsy, but it's not like nothing ever happened when we were together. Oh. She didn't have seizures or anything.
Were you hoping secretly in your head that you could like put her head under a pillow and like say, it's okay, it's okay.
But like mentally, I was like, I can handle this.
If your body becomes a holocaust.
Right.
So you're in this other one when you're engaged.
Right.
How long did that last for when it was shitty?
It was probably bad for 2 years.
2 years. And how long before that?
We were together a total of like 7 years.
And how long were you engaged during the bad... Did you get engaged during the bad time?
Yeah.
You got engaged during the bad time?
I mean, I feel like there was probably like a short time there. It was like not all, consistently terrible.
Right, we
were engaged
right.
for a year and a half.
That's another thing, too, where it doesn't get bad like all at once.
No. It's like it comes and it goes. You'll have a good spell.
That's why beaten wives stay with them. Because like, no, he's really nice.
You have a good couple months and you're like, oh, this is great. This is what it was. And then it goes back to bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were okay. Yeah. So why did it start going bad there? She got jobs.
I mean, I think it got bad because I turned into a real messed up person, and I became severely depressed and exceptionally mean and cold.
Yeah, I didn't really see much of that. Did you just take that out on her?
Yeah, for sure. I hid it from everybody.
Because it was home.
Yeah, because I'm home. So I became a very mean, cold person.
Yeah.
And then. That at that same time, she started to get someplace in her career, and I think was exposed to people that were more enjoyable to be around than I was, and were more impressive than me, and just saw that there was like another life out there that wasn't nearly as hard as the one she had with me.
Oh, yeah.
And that was that.
So you spent these 2 years together. Why so long?
I think we just felt obligated. We've been through a lot together.
You built this house together.
Yeah. We've been through a lot together, and we were both there for each other when we needed it and for the right reasons. You know, like she was there for me as best as anyone could be when shit got bad in my life.
Yeah.
So you don't throw that away. It's not you don't throw that away.
You got to
treat that with respect, I think. You know what I mean?
And did you treat her with respect?
I tried, but I was also, you know how depression works. I was sick.
Yeah.
I couldn't control the way I was behaving. I thought I was behaving
fine.
Like,
what would you do?
Just mean.
Like
just
what?
Mean. I would say things that were a kind of mean that I regret on a daily basis. That I would never say to anyone.
It's so, you can with someone you really low and love, you can get
you
can
are
get so,
so
deep and
cartoonishly
hard.
Mean.
Yeah.
Things I didn't mean. That I just wanted to say to punish something because I was mad at the universe.
I lashed out at Natasha Leggero once because we passed by the open mic at the Comedy Store.
Uh-huh.
Them all lining up.
Yeah.
And she was pretty new comedian then, within like 5-6 years of starting.
Yeah.
And she was like, why are those people lined up like that? Just like looking down on them. And it made me so mad that she had never had to wait in that line like all of us did.
Yeah.
Just because she was a pretty girl.
I didn't
like,
have to wait in that
fuck
line.
Fuck you. You think you're so goddamn important. Everything's easy to you. You've done no hard work. And it was just like, I want to hurt you.
To be fair, I didn't have to wait in that line.
You didn't do that either. Yeah. Fuck you. But you weren't shitting on the people lining up.
No, I wasn't. I understood that I was lucky. I once snapped on my ex at the Magic Castle because her and her friend were talking during The Magician. I was like, how dare you? You're a fucking comedian. So is he, basically. Have some goddamn respect. It's one thing for your shitty friend. I mean, snap for no reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just mean. I just wanted to punish something because I couldn't fix the problem I had.
It's like when somebody's poking at you and slap their hand.
I don't
It's a verbal slap.
Dude, it was way worse than that. Wow. It was disproportionate.
At the Magic Castle.
Yeah.
I will tell you, this guy who runs Comedy Central, I'm not really that high on Comedy Central, but we're at that New Faces Showcase in Montreal.
Right.
And in this big room, we're sitting in the back. What's his name? What's the guy who runs?
I don't know.
Altonen or something like that?
Don't know.
Kent Altman.
Okay.
So we're sitting there, this old couple, people with white hair, were just yapping back and forth. I was sitting next to Jordy, and it was really annoying. And it was like, it was pretty far back, but it's like, you're disrupting a sizable amount of people that are turned around. And Kent Altman fucking stood up and goes, guys, this is actually a big showcase for these people, so you need to be quiet. Disrupting their set.
Oh, bless this man.
Yeah, I was like, fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, homie.
That's what you should do if you're in a position of power like that.
Yeah. This is my thing, shut up.
Yeah, he wasn't even using his power. He was respecting comedy.
Yeah. Let them know what they're doing, at least.
Yeah.
Then if they keep doing it, then you know they're monsters.
Then they're monsters. You can feel superior.
Yeah. Yeah. That was not what I was doing.
What was it like being in this horrible relationship for 2 years?
It's very awful.
Uh-huh.
You feel bad all the time. You feel, like, trapped. You feel miserable all the time. You dread every day of your life.
Like, you wake up, she's next to you.
No, it's not like that. You're not like, ugh. It wasn't like that. It was just like, for me, I just wanted to fix it, and I couldn't do it.
Fix what?
I wanted us to both be happy, but I wasn't happy. So in my head, I was like, why can't you be fucking happy? Right. It was like, well, because you're not happy. And so you just want it to go away, but you can't. There's nothing you can do to make it go away because you have too much history together. There's too much bad shit that's happened that you can't make disappear. So even if you have, like, a good day, I think in both your heads, you're like, yeah, but, like, that other thing you did, it's like you can't let go of all the shittiness.
All the bad stuff.
Yeah, there's a weight over you of all the negative shit.
Do you try to, I talk about this in my special, Passive Aggressive, it's out now at chill.com/Ari. It just seems like it builds and you just want to get back at people.
Oh, yeah, no, it becomes a contest. You just try to win. You're just trying to be right for no reason. You're trying to win. And the thing is, you win nothing.
You don't win anything.
No, when you're right, you basically like, yeah, you're wrong. It's like, well, what'd you get?
Yeah, the only prize you've set up is
making that person feel bad.
I heard this about dogs, that trick dogs, you know, when they jump off your chest. That their treat, this is what I learned at the, I think, OC Fair or something like that. Their treat is the Frisbee.
Okay, yeah.
You make that in their mind that the thing you get is now you get to bite a Frisbee for a little bit. And then give it back and hopefully I can buy another Frisbee. It's not the actual treat. So
want them to be wrong.
Yeah,
you
the
want
treat in this thing
it.
Is them being wrong.
Yeah.
And that's what you're striving for.
That is
that sucks.
And it's so dumb. It's so stupid. It's the dumbest thing.
Golly.
You really treat that you start to treat that person like they're your enemy, even though they have done nothing but you've done nothing but be there for each other, arguably, but you're like, you're my enemy.
Yeah.
So you just start trying to be right, and it's but then at the same time you're like conflicted because you're still trying to be nice to them once in a while, and you like you still want to have sex, so you want to try to be nice to them and hopefully get that. It's a fucking shitstorm.
I want to get back to the sex part too once you get to this rote thing, but yeah, it really is. I have this friend who that's his argument technique is when you start not arguing but saying like, hey, you shouldn't do this because you know it blocks my space, instead of admitting the fault or saying like, no, it doesn't block your space. You have room to get in. You can still get in. Or saying, I'm sorry, I didn't realize it was blocking your space.
Yeah.
Instead, they go, oh, well, you don't park like that sometimes?
Yeah.
And block my space?
It's really interesting.
And now you're not denying the thing that's happened.
Yeah, it's really interesting how you make that person the place where you put all your anger that you can't take out on other people.
Yeah.
That's basically what you turn, that's a lot of times what that person turns into. Because you feel like they love you more than anyone, so they're not going to leave you for taking it out on them. When the fact of the matter is, you should fucking keep that shit as far away from them as you can because they love you more than anyone. You should treat them way, way better, but you don't. You treat them just
way worse.
Way worse.
Yeah, demean them in front of others.
I never did that.
I've seen it happen a lot.
I don't do that.
It's like talking down to them in front of others.
I mean, that's one of the things I think I was okay at, is I would hide that, even if I felt it. I was good at like, okay, I'll sit here and be the dumb one in front of people. Because also, when I snap, I can't control how mean I get.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to
let it out.
I'm not going to let it out in front of other people.
Right.
Be real ugly.
Well, how did you handle the day-to-day like annoyances? Did you just suck it up and like let it build a little bit more?
Yeah,
hatred?
I just stay quiet. I don't say nothing. And I just suffer it.
That's what
I just remain quiet and miserble.
Where it's like, okay, if you're going to attack me, I'll just move into myself.
Shut down.
Like,
yeah.
We're not going to have a discussion. I'll just say, fine, I'm wrong.
I just close off and I could just stay in my room and you can't get to me.
Yeah.
That thing, which is awful.
Yeah, it's not the best way to have it. When people treat you like shit, you're just like, I don't want to have this fight. You're not fighting in a pleasurable way.
Yeah.
We're not talking well. You're attacking me verbally, and it's unpleasant. So I'm going to go away from it.
Yeah. I just try to stay away from it.
How would she controlled you a bunch, huh?
I mean, I wouldn't say a bunch. I think the normal amount women try to control men they're in relationships with.
I don't know. I just remember her telling you what you could and couldn't eat. That really always bothered
me. Okay, but
me.
That's based on this. Because people would always give me shit about that.
Yeah.
I don't like the way I look, right? So I would complain about like, oh, I look gross. I look fat, right? And so then she'd see me eating something that was bad for me and then be like, don't eat that. And I'd be like, well, I want to. But she's doing that because she's heard me complain about being fat and I don't like the way I look.
Yeah.
So that's her doing something more or less on my behalf, but it looks like nagging. And
it would be, really, she goes, oh, this thing you hate, that's going to do it to you again.
Yeah.
So I'm more aware of this because she's way more body conscious than you were. So she's like, I'm aware of this. You're going to hurt yourself.
Yeah, the problem with what happens in relationships is it's like all the things that are done for the right intention are presented in the worst manner.
Because then would she get mad at you for eating something shitty?
No, not mad, but it would just be like, all right, go ahead, but don't complain. It's just like nagging shit.
You're like, well, I want to complain later.
Yeah. You just nag. You spend too much time together. You just fucking get nagged. You get nagged all the time, so it makes you want to. And I'm like, if you tell me what to do, I just want to like do the opposite.
Yeah.
Just like a bratty asshole.
When anyone leads a conversation with, here's what you got to do. It's like, oh, well, I'm already not going to listen to you.
Yeah,
we're already
like,
looking
you know
to not listen.
I really have to say, like, no, you don't.
Fuck you.
Yes. Yeah,
you here's yourself. What you're doing wrong. Shut up. Just how about say, hey, yeah. I don't know if you've ever tried it this way before.
Yeah.
This might work too.
Yeah, I wanted to like assert any control I have, so most of them I would do that through French fries.
When people, oh really?
Yeah, or just
I remember
you know,
slapping
food.
A fry out of your hand.
Probably.
Like, don't eat that. And I wanted to be like, he paid for all this. He's paying for your meal and my meal and his meal.
Yeah.
What the fuck is wrong with you? You don't slap that out of his hand.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, like, people would say that a lot. Like, oh, but how can you let her do that? You support her. Because I, you know, support her for a while.
Yeah.
It would be like, but that's not the kind of thing you throw in people's face. It's
that you support them. Yeah, but also you wanted to support her.
Yeah, I made her quit her job.
When I go out with girls and they're like, oh, you don't have to always pay. It's like, no, I sort of, some girls, I like paying for you.
I like paying, and it's like, the most masculine
joy.
Thing about me.
Yeah.
It's I'm not, like, strapping dude, so I'm not going to fix your truck, but I can pay for dinner.
You can give them that deep dick in.
Fuck yeah, I can. I can drop it hard. I can bottom out on you.
Bottom out? How your ovaries feel.
Feel it in your stomach.
Pushing that birth control deeper inside you, making it safer.
You can't even find that diaphragm. But yeah, you don't want to remind them of something they don't like about themselves.
Yeah.
Which I did 1,000 times.
Remind them.
Yeah, I was a mean person. I'm ashamed of that stuff.
Like what? What would you say?
I would just, you know, bring up like, oh, really? You tell me what to do in the house I fucking paid for?
You say stuff like that?
Yeah, stuff like that. Honestly, and I'm telling the truth, I regret things I said in a manner that keeps me up at night.
Really?
Yeah. I wish to God I could. Even not for the sake of us being together again, but I said things that I just didn't even mean to a person that didn't deserve it on any level. Because I was just angry and depressed and mad.
You're just looking to hurt them?
Yeah, I just wanted to hurt anything because I was mad in general.
Yeah.
I was mad at the universe and the unfair, chaotic nature of it. I wanted to take it out on someone.
How come that makes you feel better? It doesn't, though, right?
It doesn't. You think it will. Well, it's temporary.
It does make you feel a little better.
Yeah, it's a temporary rage relief. It's why dudes punch things. You punch a wall because you can't just sit in there.
Right.
So you got to get it out somehow.
And so it's like, I want to hurt you.
But yeah, I would give anything to fix all that stuff. To have not said all that stuff. Because it was, A, not true. And even if it was true, it's not the kind of thing you should fucking say anyway.
Right. There's some things you can keep to yourself.
It's not even about keeping yourself.
People always say this online now.
They end something mean with just saying. Yeah, it's a mean-natured thing to do. Why would you treat someone like that?
Yeah.
It's awful.
So you did that for years?
Yes.
Awful. Would she do it to you too?
Not to the same degree. She would only do it as like a last ditch defense after I'd done it for too long.
Right.
You know, it's just like if you're going to take me down, I'm going to go down swinging.
And so do you think that's what you're looking for?
What?
For her to fight back?
No.
You didn't want that?
No.
Okay.
No. I just wanted to punish something.
And that's the closest one to you. So that's what it is. That makes sense because you know they're not going to leave.
Yeah.
So I can be as dickheaded as I want.
Yeah. I have a month of being like this before it really gets bad. And then I can fix it.
Yelling at Avi Schneider once. I was at his house on some Shabbos. And he's being real dickish to his family.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, all right, you know how it's uncomfortable when your friends are assholes to their friends. And it was like in ninth grade, maybe eighth, ninth grade. And then they were all leaving. They were all going to go for like a walk. And he was like, oh, I don't want to hang out anymore. Just being like real standoffish.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right. So then I started to leave with them and I went upstairs. And I was like, and I remember like yelling. I was like, you can be an asshole to your family all you want and they'll still be your family.
Yeah.
But my friendship with you is conditional.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't act like this anymore.
A long-term relationship is family-ish.
Yeah.
So you feel like you have all this leeway to be mean to them, and that's it's so weird that everyone does that, and it is quite literally the opposite of what you should
do. I see everybody I know with the relationship just be shitty sometimes, and I'm like, ugh.
And why would you?
And that's the version of the relationships that I want those people to say, oh, you need a girlfriend, you need a wife. I want them to share that side of it, too.
Yeah.
And it's like they're hiding that side of it.
Yeah.
So you're giving this false sense of what I'm really expecting.
Being in long-term relationships is just a choice. Are you better at dealing with loneliness than you are with someone being pissed at you a lot?
Wow. Wow.
That is the choice.
And so you don't like being alone?
I don't know. I've never tried it for any long period of time. This is the longest I've been alone ever.
It's nice to see you
hang
out at the
Comedy
Store
anymore. Well, no, not alone. I mean, I went like a year between the first long-term and the second long-term.
And how was that time?
I don't remember. I think I was busy. But yeah, I'm a little better at being busy. It's cool. I like being around the Comedy Store more. I like being around shows more.
Did our script that we wrote together, torching you, have anything to do with the breakup of the relationship?
No. 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 It did not.
We got like 60 pages in.
I think we got 80.
We might have.
We got 80.
It was like 2 years. It was pretty fun writing, though.
It was fun. And we didn't write anything.
Write for
good.
Like 10 minutes and like, want to eat? Oh, yeah, eat, man.
5 hours of eating and talking shit and 10 minutes of writing.
Houston's closed.
Oh, man. All of them? The one in Pasadena?
There's another one in Pasadena?
There's one in Pasadena.
Oh, I didn't know
the
that.
The one in Santa Monica closed?
No, I just know that one, I think. The one in Cahuenga.
Oh, that Houston's, the pork place. Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a pretty...
It was great.
The sandwich was great. Everything else was pretty janky.
The tips?
Yeah. I mean, I stopped going because I stopped eating meat. The owner guy and the lady that worked there were the best combination of humans to work at a place ever.
Why?
Probably a 55-year-old Latino man and a sassy as hell 35-year-old black woman that would give him advice about how to date his woman all day long when I was in there eating, and it was the funniest thing I've ever heard. I would watch a show of those two. It was so great.
That was like a piece of New York, those two.
Oh, it was so great.
Place.
He was saying how for Christmas he was just going to give his long-term girlfriend money. He's like, she can get whatever she wants. And she was like, no, you need to show her that you think of her and try. He's like, that's not, you got to be romantic. And he was like, oh, and he would like listen. He wasn't like fighting. He was like, oh, okay. Like he was learning. It was great.
Oh, that's what you do?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, it sucks. That place closed.
Diaz told me.
Yeah. I drove by and noticed that it closed.
I went there once in a while. It was pretty fucking good.
I went there a lot for a while.
The French fries were fine.
So cheap.
Yeah, it was cheap.
I think a sandwich was $2.50.
No.
Maybe.
Really? I thought like
$5.99. I think the pork sandwich was like $2 or $3.50.
Because
I would get
good,
two.
Man.
I remember I'd get two of the pork sandwiches and a salad, and the whole thing was like $11.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Yeah.
You could refill your drinks for like a quarter or something.
That's some eating I'd have to lie about when I got home.
No, I just had a half a slider.
Yeah, I just went and got a salad somewhere.
You would lie?
Oh, yeah.
Because you wouldn't want to get into it.
Yeah, didn't you lie about a lot.
Do you think there's a better way to communicate with a loved one?
For sure.
Take your feelings about them out. And just say, like, in a situation like that, could you say, like, hey, listen, I know I complain a lot about this, but when you say it, I don't know, it feels worse than when I say it to myself, so...
I think it's like...
Don't say it.
I know... I would do this a lot. Like, I know I complain about feeling gross and that I think I'm ugly and awful, but, like... I really like French fries, and I'm really miserable right now, and those are like the very few pieces of happiness I get are food-based, so just let me eat them. And a lot of times, they would be like, okay. If you try to be rational, a lot of times it works. But most of the time,
but yeah, no one does that.
No one does that. It's too hard. You got to think. You got to really think.
My mom said this. She said, I had this guy, Aaron Belitsky. I just remember this the other day. But he was...
Do you know anyone with a Gentile name? God.
No. Not from growing up. He used to call me Manimal. And it bothered me really bad. Him and John Wilbur.
Mm-hmm.
And John Wilbur was he was the bully, so I think he was doing it on purpose. But Aaron Belitsky, I don't think was. I just thought it was those
joined in.
Yeah,
for
those
fun
toys. It was like a car that you could RC control.
Yeah, I remember, man.
And it would go up to a wall and it would start climbing the wall.
It had like claws.
Yeah,
yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad nickname, but it just, nope, I didn't like it.
Okay.
My mom was like, "Well, why don't you just tell those boys that you don't like it? Maybe they'll stop." I'm like, "Mom, don't be an idiot."
Yeah, well, it's showing weakness.
But I did eventually, and he was like, "Oh, okay."
Yeah.
And you just stopped calling him Manimal.
Yeah.
But like, that's, you don't want to show that weakness, so you don't want to tell somebody something. You just want them to stop, like a girlfriend.
Well, the thing about
boyfriend, and then it becomes like,
what's interesting is when you first get into a relationship, you don't have to do a lot of thinking. It's a lot of chemistry. Things are just going right, just because they are, because you like each other a lot. You don't have to communicate. There's less communication is necessary because it's just, there's a lot of juice flying around.
Yeah, you can text them, how you doing?
Yeah, you guys are all about each other, so you're inherently trying harder.
Yeah.
So then, but then what happens is you get in the middle and you have to start trying harder, and it's, you haven't taught yourself how, and it just feels less fun. You're like, oh, we didn't used to have to do this. We used to be on the same page all the time. Well, it's like, well, that was some, when you first get into a relationship with someone, there's so much just sexual energy, you ignore a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But then later, that sexual energy dies down, and that stuff becomes more prominent.
Oh, because the sexual stuff was covering it up.
You're not. When you first start dating someone, you want to bone each other so bad, you'll ignore a lot.
There's butterflies too. You get excited to see them.
Oh yeah, it's just some chemistry.
That's the thing when people cheat. It's like I always say, like, cheat in secrecy. Don't tell the person.
They just want butterflies.
Yeah, and it's like you just literally cannot get that from the guy you're with for a year and a half.
Unless they break up with you and then you get back together.
Yeah, and then in that time you can get those butterflies. Yeah. But generally, you just don't get them.
Nope.
So then this other person who you get those butterflies with, it's like, it will go away with that person.
Totally.
So don't leave the guy that you've made this long-term thing with.
Mm-mm.
Instead, explore that. Let it run its course in a month.
My father, like me, never cheated.
You never cheated?
I've never cheated.
Never cheated.
Nope. And
have you been cheated on?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think so, but I also don't know.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I'd like to assume.
I'd like to assume no, but then when you think about the odds, you're like,
yeah,
definitely.
They were both attractive. They're all attractive people.
Yeah.
It's very, easy.
And they were in something for over a year that was shitty.
Yeah, I almost wouldn't blame them.
Yeah, you can't blame them.
Yeah, like, why? I couldn't give you something, so go get it. Yeah. But even my father was like, if you're going to cheat, just don't tell them, because that's just you relieving guilt. You're not doing anything except hurting them, if you want to stay with them.
Yeah.
You're just hurting their feelings.
Yeah, it's like, what's the
point? And you're like, oh, but I was honest. Honesty's bullshit.
Do what?
Yeah, I mean, you and I got in this argument once in class where it's like, people put this premium on being honest.
Yeah.
Just because you're being honest doesn't mean you're being right. You could be terribly misinformed. Honesty is in your head. It's like, oh, I know this to be true. No, you don't. You think you know it to be true. And so when, like, you say it, people put a premium like, I was just being real up there. I was just being honest. Like, yeah, but you're also a moron.
Yeah.
So your honesty is pretty low level as far as worth.
Yeah. Right, there's a difference between lying and being wrong.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, yeah, but everyone's worried about the honesty. It's like, you have to say, hey, just so you know, I had some thought about some other girl today.
Yeah.
You don't have to share those things.
What's the point of that?
Only when you do something wrong.
You don't think, here's the thing, every girl I've ever dated, you don't think they looked at guys hotter than me and were just like, of course they did.
Masturbated to some other person.
What, they don't have eyes? Are you fucking kidding me?
You're not supposed to rub it in your boyfriend's face.
Thought about the best time their ex fucked them really hard. Yeah. You know what? They don't have memories.
I get those texts sometimes, and I figured out what they were.
What?
Because at first it was like,
what do you mean? You get a text from a girl? Like, that's like, I remember that time you fucked me really hard?
Yeah.
Really?
Or like, I think about that.
Maybe I don't fuck her enough.
This instance or that instance. Like,
oh, wow.
Usually it's some specific place.
Hmm.
So, like, some girl once came in, and as soon as she came over, so we just boned right by the door.
Oh, okay, I've gotten, like, one of those.
Yeah, or, like, in a car somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, certain things you hold on to, like...
Mm-hmm.
Me and my ex, the wife, we the Hustler of Hollywood parking lot.
Okay, cool.
We were just like right here. It was kind of private.
Yeah.
It was like just bent over the fucking hood, and it was like hot.
Totally.
So, you know, you have those memories if you're a girl, and you like, so then they'll text you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be like, I remember that time. Do you remember that? And at first it was like, yeah, let's have sex again.
Let's fuck right now.
Yeah. And then it's like, well, I can't, my boyfriend. At first I was like, come on, try. Who cares? He won't know.
Yeah.
And then it became like, I realized, like, oh, they don't want to cheat.
No.
They just want to have a little bit of, like...
Women see... And I don't know,
that
I'm guessing.
Fun, like, remember that?
You seem to hear this a lot.
Yeah.
That they love spontaneity, and I'm not sure why.
Yeah.
I hate it. I love to know what's going to happen and plan for it.
Yeah.
But they love spontaneity, and I'm not sure why. But they put a real premium on it, so anything you can do like that... I wonder if it's just the idea of, like, you're so overcome by being attracted to them, you can't help it, and it makes them feel very attractive.
Makes them feel attractive, yeah,
like,
maybe.
You have to get some of me right now in the Baskin-Robbins bathroom, and you're like, I can't, I'm sorry, you're so hot. And especially the idea of that happening after, like, a number of years is flattering.
Yeah.
Because you've seen all the parts a lot.
And that's what I figured out it was. The guy they're with is not giving them that anymore. And only because they can't give it to him because it's been over a year.
Yeah.
And then just have a little bit of a lark by saying, remember that, and you know, text back and forth, but then you've done nothing wrong and that's all you want
to
do.
I find myself talking to people a lot in relationships, and I feel like I try to tell them to do stuff that'll work.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, I do this to girls all the time. I go, how long have you been with your guy? And they'll be like, 2 years. I'm like, text him once a week, or text him right now. Sucks I'm at work because I wish I could get weird with you right now.
Oh, yeah.
It will yield benefits of which you will not even realize.
I'm doing this bit now about morning blowjobs and how much it can change your fucking the way the guy treats you.
It just makes, okay, especially as a dude, okay, I feel real gross. I don't feel very attractive on any level.
Yeah.
Anything you can say to me that makes me feel like you're actually attracted to me and you, like, wanna have sex with me, and it's not just the kind of thing where, like, if I'm on my best behavior and I'm really super nice to you, then we get to have sex because that's what people in relationships do. If you could just, like, no, I don't care what happened today. Like, I want you to take it to me. Like, yeah. I'm like, holy shit, it's great. The last girl I dated was, I can say, is probably the first girl that I felt her being attracted to me.
Oh,
I haven't,
really?
Yeah, I've always, and most of the girls I've dated, they think I'm funny and I'm smart and I have a handful of talents.
Well, we were talking about this when we did the introduction to the podcast a few weeks ago.
Okay, yeah.
It was, it's cold, you getting cold?
No, I'm just standing up.
Okay. Yeah, I should have brought longer cords. It's fun to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
When we start as comics, we're always like, oh, I can't get laid, or, you know, I can't beat you up, sir. Stuff like that. You kick my ass.
Yeah.
But it's only because we have low, we don't have any confidence.
Right.
And that's probably why you didn't think anyone would find you attractive, too. It's because you always thought
you were a dweeb. Well, also, I didn't see a whole lot of proof. Also, maybe, you know, I inherently look at the world in that way. I don't look at myself as someone who's attractive, so I probably wouldn't recognize it when I saw it. I'm not saying the women I've dated weren't attracted to me. I just never noticed it or felt it. But the last girl I dated for, you know, a handful of months, like, I could tell she was attracted to me, and it was it felt completely
felt
new.
Nice, right?
It's like, wow, you actually think I'm handsome. Like, that was weird. I wasn't used to it at all, to be honest with you.
And so how was that different?
It was great. I
now,
felt better about
myself.
Should
you want that in a relationship?
Yeah, you should. But
were you before this accepting any girl who would have you?
No. I'm pretty superficial about, like, I only date girls I think are very attractive.
Yeah, I don't know. Just because I got this from you, where you were with somebody with huge knockers, mm-hmm. and you loved huge knockers.
Okay, but her face was also quite beautiful.
I know, but then you would always talk about huge knockers, love them, love them, love them. Then you went out with a girl with very small knockers.
Right.
Still knockers, but very small knockers. And then you started saying, like, you know, I like those small petite knockers.
Well, what I realize is I don't have a type. I really like girls.
Yeah, there's a bunch of types. That's a
there's
problem.
There's really... The girls are pretty great. So I don't have, like, a specific type. I've never dated a woman where there wasn't at least one part of them I was like, this is great.
Are you trying to casually date now at all?
Yeah. A little.
How's
but I'm not... It's going okay. But the thing is, I'm pretty... I don't want to be in a relationship because I've just done that so much.
Yeah, I don't think it benefits you too much.
I don't think it benefits... Well, specifically me, I don't think... Okay, here's what I think, honestly.
Yeah.
I've spent so... I pre-compromise in relationships because I've just...
relationships.
I just accept the fact that, like, it's more important for the woman to be happy than for me to be happy, so I just let them get their way probably more of the time.
I did that for a long time. It's because you really do feel like it's more important.
For sure.
It's not like you won this argument.
Well, their emotional reaction to things is greater than yours,
and you just want them to be happy.
You just want to be happy. So I kind of... put my what I want and my needs way aside.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe that's part of the problem. I don't think women want a dude who's that easily pushed around.
Right.
So I feel like I'm going to spend some time trying to turn myself into an actual human being.
Well, they told me that in college, when it's like, no, you have to just tell the girl where you're going to go eat and stuff like that. It's like, no, but you have to find out what she wants to eat. And it's like, no, they want you to say, hey, let's go to this new fish restaurant. I heard it's really great. And they'll be like, oh, okay, you're exposing me to new things.
Al Madrigal's wife gives great advice about all things.
What did she
and
say?
She's like, I go, you know, women, I feel like part of you wants to be, you know, drug into the cave.
Uh-huh.
She goes, you're right. We want to be drug into the cave, but once we get in there, we want to tell you where to go.
Huh.
But also, like, I was telling you this last night, like, it's, I think part of it's a stress test, is when women try to boss you around a little, they're kind of testing you to see if you're a pussy, because they don't want to spend the rest of their life with someone who's weak.
Some puss.
They want to know that when things get hard, you'll be able to handle it and be able to do things and say no to people, stand up for yourself,
so
and fight back.
They bitch at you a little bit so that they will see if you will, without probably thinking about it, so that you will then say, stop it, and hold them down. And
I don't
okay.
think it's like they want you to hold them down necessarily, but just like, no, I'm not going to do this.
Well, it's like dogs.
Yeah.
When dogs, if you don't show dominance for a while, they start to go further and further.
Yeah, humans
you
are animals.
You have to hit them on the head when they piss inside.
Humans are animals, yeah. But we are sophisticated animals.
Just sometimes
but we
understand our animal instincts.
You need to know where the lines are, otherwise there are no goddamn lines. And I'm not saying you take this too far and beat up Rihanna in a Lamborghini, but what I'm saying is like...
Beat her up somewhere.
I think they want to... You want to be with someone who's strong. So you don't... If you're constantly pushing him around...
Well, that's why Rihanna's back with Chris Brown.
I don't know.
I mean, they're back together,
they
so I mean, that's got to be part of it. He
but
showed
that's
enough.
A disgusting example.
That can be in control.
But, you know, they want... I think the idea is that you want someone who, if you... Something happens to you where you're exceptionally weak, they'll be able to handle it and be strong on your behalf. And if you can push me around so easily on every subject,
yeah.
How can I look at you and think... Okay, this is what I think. Towards the end of my relationship, I was falling apart as a human,
yeah.
Right? You've been there,
yeah.
Where you're just like, you've given up. Nothing matters, and you're just like, fuck everything. I don't care about anything anymore. If you didn't have any family members, you'd kill yourself because you don't want to make anybody sad. But you don't want to make anybody sad, so you're like, all right, I don't care about anything. Nothing matters. I don't care. I've basically fallen apart as a human. And I think she looked at that and was like, how am I going to... have the rest of my life with this thing.
Oh, the shell.
It's a situation. It's like, I can't depend on you for anything because you can't seem to do anything because you've given up on everything. So how am I going to hitch my wagon to a dead horse?
This crap.
Yeah. It's so, when you look at it that way, it's like, oh, I don't blame you.
So you have to keep being strong for them, and that's what'll make
them
happy.
I think both of you do. I saw her be super strong when my dad died and I couldn't function and I needed help and I needed to be cared for to a certain extent. So like, oh, you can handle that kind of stuff. You can handle a really bad situation.
Right.
So I think they look to you, it's like, oh, you're falling apart. And while I feel bad, I think it's like she hung in there as long as she could and was like, okay, she's a lot of years left. I want to be with a shell?
It's also like, you ever see that Louis sketch where he's on a date with some girl and it's going well and then some bully, some like high school football player like pushes him around,
right,
and threatens him. He's uh-huh. like, ask for my forgiveness and maybe I'll give it to you. And finally right. he's like, all right, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And, yeah. and then the girl's like, I don't want to go out anymore. He goes, what? And she's like, I know I'm not proud of it, but you were so demean there
yeah.
that I'm less attracted to you.
I mean, it's...
But I think there's something that animal instinct is like,
well,
yeah,
it's
I want
like
to see you fight and win.
It's not even. I think they just want to see you fight.
Yeah,
it's not a win thing.
Maybe that's what it is.
It's like I want to see you try.
Yeah,
because do you really? I mean, just think of that like on just a one sentence basis. Do you want to date someone who doesn't try?
Yeah.
No. Well, what's he like? He never tries. That just sounds bad.
So are you going to try to not be with somebody for a while? But you're not going to not fuck.
Okay. We discussed this a little. My thing with fucking random girls. Is I have a really hard time dealing with feeling guilty. And I don't think you can just randomly... I think even if they say, yeah, I'm down to fucking whatever, that's not the case. Because I will think of it from my standpoint. If a girl was like, hey, I'm down to fuck, and we had sex one time, and then she never wanted to have it again, I'd feel bad about myself. I'd be like, oh, I wasn't good enough.
You can have it again. Or maybe it wasn't good enough.
Okay.
You're allowed to feel a little bad if somebody's like, no, the sex wasn't that good, I don't want to do this again.
I've hurt enough women's
it's
feelings.
It's barely hurting them, though.
It's still hurts.
I think you're overdoing it in your head of like the pain that's going to come.
For sure I am.
With somebody once and don't want to go out again. It's just like... It's mostly
that's
like,
different.
Oh, that sucks.
Okay,
but
if you go out with them, but then you use their body. If you
they
go
used
out with
you too.
But they're
you
trying.
Didn't tell them. Okay, here's when it goes bad. When you tell them you're in love with them, and you can see a future with them, and you mislead them in order to get laid. If you're just like, I had a good time. You want to go back to my
okay,
place?
But if they like you more than you like them, and you fuck them, yeah. They're having sex with you in hopes that it creates an emotional bond.
Yeah, but they're having sex with you in the hopes that it does.
Yeah, but they want that.
And if it
that.
Doesn't, it's like it doesn't.
Okay, for you, because it didn't hurt your feelings. You hurt their feelings.
I don't. I think you're I just
I don't
think you're getting
I don't,
it wrong.
I'm tired of giving women scar tissue. I've done enough.
It's only when you go out there for 6 years and then break up. If it's been a week, it doesn't hurt them.
I
it's
don't
just like,
care.
Oh, really? You don't want to go out? Oh, well.
I can't process guilt, dude. It eats me. It devours my heart and brain. Consumed by it.
I bet it's all something like, why won't you fuck me? I don't think the problem is. I like you.
I mean, yeah, you're right. To you're a certain extent, me. They're probably like, do you not think I'm pretty?
Yeah.
But I don't know,
show
man.
Show it.
I don't know.
So
I also never been in a situation, so I don't know how to act. This is very, very new to me, and the parameters.
Well, we're on Tinder now, you and I.
We were both on Tinder,
trying to find girls, random girls, and I found a girl, a match, and you said, why don't you find her? So I said, I found this match, and I said, what are you doing right now?
Come.
My name is Ari Shaffir,
right?
Smart, and said, come over to my friend's house in Los Feliz. We're doing a podcast about relationships. Here's my number. And she just wrote, ha ha. And I'm like, no, you'd be perfect. Come over.
Right.
She said she doubts she'll have anything to say on that matter.
Well,
oh,
that's fine.
Even better.
That means she doesn't want to commit and just wants to party.
I like that.
Everyone get on Tinder so there'll be more women on Tinder, you guys.
It's such a good thing.
Everybody get on Tinder,
please. I'm
going to
spend hours on this.
It is by far the best time waster I have ever. This is putting Angry Birds to shame because you can't fuck an Angry Bird.
Yeah. Here's what it is. So let's just explain it, what it is. It's just straight Grindr. If you know what Grindr is. Oh, if you ever heard my podcast with Justin Martindale, how he found two dudes at random in Dallas and had a three-way in a hotel room. Two dudes that didn't know each other.
Right.
At 2 p.m.
Yeah.
Ruining sheets.
I heard my friend Max tell me about a Grindr story where they went on vacation with a dude, and he's a gay guy, and he got on Grindr. He's like, oh, yeah, I'm meeting up with this guy before dinner. And he's like, so he gets in here, he's like, what'd you do? Did you guys blow loads on each other? He goes, no, we just did some muscle worship. He's like, muscle worship? It's where two dudes just stand in front of each other and just like squeeze and grab each other's muscles. Like, yeah, look at your triceps. Look at these biceps. Just like admire each other slap each other's chest and get all worked up.
What?
And he's so you guys, that's all you did? He's like, oh, no, after dinner, we're going to fuck each other's brains out.
Wow.
Yeah. Great.
Step by step.
So good. How
so
great
this
is
that?
That?
It is great.
Hopefully.
I love when they shut down Grindr at the Olympics because all the athletes were going there.
Or were they just going hog wild?
Yeah, they're just fucking the other gay athletes.
Yeah.
Do you have a match?
No.
Oh.
No.
So how what is this called? Tinder. It works is you just look at either girls or boys or both, whatever you want.
And
you
the
say
key
if a girl's
is this.
Attractive or not attractive.
They cannot see your picture.
Uh-huh.
Explain it, Ari.
No, they can see your picture.
They can see your picture.
They can't see that you found them attractive or not attractive. You
right.
click to the left, not attractive, to the right, attractive. Or
right.
click a button.
Right.
You can see a couple things about them. You can see other pictures if you like.
Mm-hmm.
They have four or five pictures up there. You can see all those.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find them unattractive, they won't ever see it. And if you find them attractive, they won't ever see it.
Right.
But if they also find you attractive, if they click on your picture,
mm-hmm.
then
you're
it
a
just
match.
Goes, boom, you got a match.
Bing bong.
So the only way you see each other is if you both find each other attractive.
Which is so great.
Which is what happened with me and whatever her name is.
Whatever her name is.
Laura. Just shows first names too. And their ages.
And their ages.
And their ages are all under 24.
They are exceptionally young, which I find troubling.
I'm going to write her back.
Well, you missed out. But yeah, it's all very hard. And we're all very lonely people. And I'm just trying to go about it better than I have in the past. I want to spend a little time not in a relationship, figuring out what kind of human I want to be for the rest of my life before I start letting someone try to push me around a little. So I know where I want to push back.
So you want to put... Yeah. The thing is, when you're dating people...
Because women don't want that. They don't want a pussy.
Yeah.
And I thought my whole life was just like, oh, you do anything you can to make them happy. And they don't
want
that all
the time.
Yeah,
I did that too for a long time.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
Well, I'm finally finding that it's like, if you just do what you want to do,
mm-hmm.
and then what you're happy doing, what you're into, and then find someone else who likes doing those things with you or hearing about them.
Or also,
who doesn't
if you're
want to change
super
you,
fired up about something.
Yeah, they'll be into it probably.
I'll be like, all right, you're fired up, man.
Yeah.
I'll go with you. Although I didn't do that in any other relationship, but whatever.
When they
I'm
were super
try
fired
harder.
Up, definitely.
Yeah, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to try 10 to 20% harder. And as long as you're nice to me.
But then you find somebody that's into the things you're into. If you're like, oh, I love going to art shows. If somebody's like, that's so boring for me.
Yeah.
But if you find somebody that likes doing that thing with you, then it's like, oh, well, now we're a good match.
Exactly.
Instead of just hoping to lie about going to art shows because this person won't be into it.
Yep. Looking at this girl's picture and her profile says traveling. No.
Says traveling?
No. Fuck traveling.
And see this, you can see if they have any Facebooks. If you log on to Facebook.
Yeah, that you see you have similar friends. That's weird. I stay away from that.
Yeah.
I don't want similar friends.
It also shows interest. So if you've
been, I don't think
you,
I put
if you
any
like something
interest
on
in
Facebook, then it'll show
see,
you.
I don't like anything.
Oh. Well, now it's going to make me like some stuff.
Okay.
I found similar interests. The only similar interest I found, by the way, you liked her.
I did.
The only similar interest I found is UFC or Jonathan Daniel Brown.
What's Jonathan Daniel Brown?
He's that kid.
For some reason, I come up liking like a Chase Bank thing.
Fucking Facebook.
I'm really just looking for dog weirdos. Animal lover.
Oh. Yeah, they should. Oh, 22, 28, get out of here. 25, borderline.
Your age range thing is way different than mine.
Why? What do you like?
I don't want them super young.
What do you want?
I don't want them super. Well, it's tough. No. I don't want my age because they need to either.
Page 33. There you go. All right, you have an interest. You have a similar interest. Click on her picture. Click on her picture.
Okay, hold on.
Click on it.
Oh.
Just like that.
Our shared interest is going to be like this Chase Bank thing.
You're like, hey, I couldn't help but notice we both said Chase Bank.
Yeah,
what is it?
Chase Community Giving.
Wait. Let's see what she has to say.
It doesn't look like anything interesting. She's on a private plane in the photo. I'm not doing that.
Looking away from the picture.
Someone has high standards, and that's not what I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's what I figured finally. I don't want a girl who's saying, like, Ari, we have to go to nicer restaurants. We have to do nicer things and be more cultured.
Love,
I'm
travel,
like,
want to see the world. No.
How about we just do what I want to do?
How about you want to see downtown Burbank?
You love Burbank.
You want to see the Grove. You want to see parts of Silver Lake. I'll go to Pasadena.
So,
I'll drive to West Hollywood.
Let me. You haven't got any matches yet? You'll tell me when you get a match.
I'll tell you.
You're saying no to everybody. If they're all attractive, hit
They're all way too young.
What?
They're all
Aren't
too
you
young.
Kicking it to some young girl now?
Yeah, but I think there's a big difference between
that
hunting down a... I just happened to meet this girl. We have similar interests, and she happened to be young. I wasn't like, hey, like stalk her on the internet.
There just happens to be a younger age range girl on Tinder. Stalker on the internet. What's the difference? That's how relationships are made now.
No.
All right, let's talk about the sex.
Okay.
When you get into a long-term relationship,
oof.
What happens to sex?
It gets boring.
Because you
boring.
Are someone who beats off the porn more than most people I know.
Not anymore.
Or did for a while.
I did for a while, yeah.
So you like
Which is a mistake.
To do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I try to limit it sometimes now. If I know I'm going to go out with
if you make the If you make the person in your relationship the only outlet you have for sexual interaction, you'll treat them 50% better.
Well, yeah. You'll try harder on them.
You'll just be nicer, and that'll work.
You'll also be like, "What are you doing right now? Come over, let's do this."
Well, you'll just fucking if you're not gonna give her shit about something that doesn't matter if you want a boner later.
So, were you still not doing porn while you were in the last the
no
the
I was
thing?
Porned up.
Oh,
too
Let
much.
Me ask you a question then.
Yeah,
what happened to the sex?
It just went away
completely.
Because look, the fact of the matter is, I was mean mm-hmm. and cold and emotionally distant. No one wants that.
Wants to fuck that.
And it's not like I was making her feel attractive. Why would you want to have sex with someone you are don't think finds you attractive?
Yeah.
Some. I mean, look. I'll be honest.
So, like,
with
how
you.
Many days would it? Go, how many? How long would you go in between?
Days.
What are you talking about? Months?
How about a year?
A year without sex at all?
Yeah.
Would you jerk off in bed next to her?
No.
She was asleep.
No, I might have. But not a lot.
I do that all
not
the time.
On the reg.
Allie asked me that. Mm-hmm. She was like, why is there like a pile of socks
a mountain
by the
of
bed?
Socks.
It's like, I masturbate into those. She's like, when? I sleep next to you every night. I'm like, those nights.
Those nights.
When you're
Some
sleeping.
Of those nights.
Kevin, put it away for a second.
Okay. I'm still totally cognizant of what we're talking about.
Oh, okay. So
but
wait.
Yeah, the sec, you don't, you know.
You didn't fuck for a year?
Well, we didn't like each other.
You should fuck somebody else during that time.
I don't cheat.
I know, but like you, if there was no stigma to cheating, you should be fucking
somebody
else.
Okay, if there was no stigma to heroin, you and I'd be buying it right now.
No, because it's not the stigma so much as
the
negative effects that can have me physically.
I'd be buying heroin.
If it wasn't looked down on?
Yeah, I'd figure out a way to do it safely, and I'd do heroin all the time. Feels better than everything. Ask a heroin addict.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about.
Ask a heroin addict what the best day of their life is, and they'll tell you the first time they did heroin.
Let's do heroin.
I'm probably going to do it when I'm old.
Let's do it like three times. Here's why three times.
Everyone I know doesn't get over it.
Here's why three times.
I talked to someone who'd done heroin, great. And I was like, what was the first time like? And she went, honestly, it was the best day of my life. She has kids. So the birth of her children ranks below the first time she did heroin.
Wow.
That's a little too powerful, my friend.
What do you mean too powerful?
It's too
That's
good.
Too powerful not to try.
Okay, but it's...
That sounds like something you should definitely try then. Everyone's like, oh, you got to stay away from that. People love it more than their kids. Why would you stay away from something you love
I
more than children?
I think you decide to make it your lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, I'm going to be
that's
a heroin addict.
That's the problem.
Addict.
It's not a decision. It's like, no one says I'm going to be a heroin addict. They're
that's the
let's
thing.
Do more heroin later today.
No, you've got to decide to be a heroin addict. You're going to ride the dragon for the rest of your life.
Three times. You do it once, you know. And then the second time, you're like, okay, I know what I'm getting into now.
Who
so this would be a fun thing.
I don't want to even know who to get heroin from.
You know who to get heroin from.
I don't know who.
You go to the store and you ask the right people.
I don't even know those people
You know
anymore.
The people that would give you leads.
Do you know what a story it would be if I went to the Comedy Store and asked where I could buy heroin?
I asked
There'd
for
be an
Coke.
Intervention. There'd be an intervention.
Yeah, for you.
Everyone would hear about, like,
you
Kevin Christie asked for heroin, and then Steve Simone and David Taylor and Al Madrigal and Stephen Aziz would be like, hey, buddy, but whoa. I wouldn't even get to it.
Yeah, you'd be like, well, have you tried heroin?
Have you, well, hey, let me ask you this.
Get off me.
Have you tried heroin?
Get out of my way. I'm doing heroin. Yeah. Steve Agee said he was about to take it, smoke it.
Mm-hmm.
But then he said he has a thing about barfing.
Okay.
And he goes, the first guy smoked it and then passed it to the second guy. And the second guy
took it and barfed.
The second guy took it and smoked something. As he smoked something, the first guy barfed.
Ooh.
And then Steve Agee was like, what? And he got it. And right when he got the thing, the pipe, the next guy barfed. And he goes, oh, no.
Oh, no. This is bad heroin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you just don't fuck at all. And then you start... Here's my problem.
Then you start resenting them.
For not fucking.
For not having sex with you. Because it makes you feel ugly. You don't like feeling ugly, so it makes you mad. So then you take that anger, and you're mean to them. And essentially what you're saying is, why don't you like me as much anymore?
Do you get rejected from sex? Like make small overtures? And have
Yeah, eventually you stop even doing that because the rejection is too embarrassing.
Rejection hurts too much.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's so embarrassing.
I told a girl once, because she was like... talking about blowjobs and she wasn't that into them.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, well, when do you want me to do them? She was a little drunk once after like a dinner.
Yeah.
I was like, right now in the car, it'd be great. And she's like, what do you mean? Just anytime? Like even right now as we're driving? I'm like, perfect. And she goes, well, what if you can't do it? Like what if some guy is looking or something? And I was like, literally, there's almost no way I won't like it. And if like my dad's in the car next to me and I have to stop you, I'm like, stop.
You still get credit.
I will still like you a lot more for having tried.
Also, a big problem with me is I don't drink, and it helps a lot to just get a little drunk together.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, maybe
I'll...
It helps
you let go.
Yeah, just, I don't know, it makes stuff go away. Makes you mellower.
You want to try smoking some reefer right now?
No. That's too big of a step. I might drink with this girl, just for fun.
You should try it.
She doesn't drink either, so like...
Oh, that's good.
A couple Zimas apiece, and we'll be wasted.
Well, here's what I would tell you if you're going to do that, because you have no tolerance, probably.
Right.
Slow it down.
Slow it
early,
down.
And once you are feeling good and feeling weird...
Have some water.
Yeah, definitely have some water, but like don't go to your next one. Don't be like, oh, I have to keep taking these to feel right. Then you'll get more drunk. So like, enjoy the coasting.
But yeah, I mean, I need to learn... I have to do a lot of things to change myself. You know what I mean? I'm kind of doing that now. I mean, you went through a terrible depression, and then you came out of it, and then you've worked on yourself, you've changed, you've come out of it a way better, more productive person.
More productive, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that now. I'm trying to turn back into what I was at one point
in my
life.
Are you still in this depression?
Less.
Taking pills?
Yeah, still.
What do you got?
Wellbutrin. Some light shit.
I tried that one.
Yeah. You were getting hit a little harder. But I mean, my therapist said I'm getting better. She said I'm making progress. Because she asked me, she goes, how do you feel? I go, well, it doesn't, like, I don't feel depressed all the time, but I feel more emotional in short spurts. She's like, that's better. That's how life is.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you should feel things here or there.
Yeah. I'm a more emotional person, but, like, it's not constant. I don't feel like I'm in a fog. I don't feel like nothing matters. I feel like things matter. But I'm a more emotional person just because I think I'm aware of how sad and hard life can be. So when I see examples of it, it gets
to me. It's okay
more
to cry at the end of a movie. It's not okay to still be crying 3 days later.
Yeah, exactly. I've gotten past that part.
So man, so you would lie down in a bed next to a girl. I think the thing is, once you live
with somebody, well, the thing is, you stop going to sleep at the same time.
Oh yeah,
because that it's like you find reasons. You don't want to face it head on, so you find a reason to make it easier. So you go to sleep at a different time, or you just it's like that. Because you don't want to confront, dude. It's awful.
Because then it's a confrontation.
It's a confrontation.
Of not getting laid.
The awareness is right there in front of you.
My thing is when you sleep over at a girl's house when you're dating or something, or she's over at your house.
Right.
The first time it's like, oh, we're gonna fuck.
For sure.
If we're on a date, we're going to have sex.
For sure.
And that happens every single time.
Yeah.
Unless you get pass out drunk or something like crazy happens.
I didn't understand that necessarily. The last girl I dated got pissed at me for not boning her enough and over a weekend. I was like, I felt bad. She's like, what?
Oh, yeah. Like, how old is she?
Mid-20s.
Okay.
She's like, what? Huh? What do you mean? It's like, I felt bad. I didn't think you liked me as much, and I felt bad. So I didn't do it.
I
mean, you know, I need, that's the thing. I have a lot I have to fix. I almost feel like it'd be unfair to get in a relationship in the state I'm in. Although I make it sound worse than it is, but like, you know, I just, dude.
Well, everyone's got their shit.
I'm just worried I'll go back into the exact same pattern.
Yeah, you definitely like having someone with you at all times.
Yeah.
You go away though. I was going to say that. That's something that a lot of your friends don't like about it.
What?
Is it once you get in a relationship,
I
you're
disappear.
Gone.
Yeah.
And then when I see you at the store past 11 o'clock, I'm like, well, Kevin, Christy, what are you still doing?
Well,
out?
I'm not a late night person.
Dude,
you know?
But yeah, but for a while you came into your spot that was opening or going on third and then you left.
Well, dude, a lot of times no one was there. I'd go do my spot
but a lot of times
and no one
would
be
see
there.
You and then you'd be gone as soon as I saw you.
Eh, it's embarrassing.
What's embarrassing?
Opening.
Nobody cares, though. No one looks at the lineup.
I don't know.
This is what I realized with
Tony. I'm just not as good at hanging out as other people. I don't drink. And then I wouldn't be at the store for a long time, so there'd be people there I didn't know. I didn't know what was going on there, so it was just
because you took so much time off.
Yeah, and then I just.
Well, you've hung out since then. And it's fun, isn't it?
Well, I didn't take time off from stand up. I just took time off from hanging out.
No, I mean hanging out.
Yeah,
but you've been there now.
Oh, I love it. I love going to that Death Squad show on Monday. It's the best.
Yeah,
I fucking love that show.
Have you done the art for that once yet?
No, I've never been able to. Every time he's asked me, I haven't been able to.
Oh, okay, you'll do it though, right?
Yeah, I'll do it.
Yeah, you should.
I'm worried about drawing in the dark. I'll be honest.
It's light enough.
Oh, is it, Ari?
The belly room?
Have you made the decision it's light enough to draw in the dark, Ari, who doesn't draw? I have bad eyesight.
I mean, yeah.
No, I'll do it. But yeah, no, I like hanging out now. It's fun.
It's not light enough, really?
No. I don't know. I'll
it's
see.
The belly room. It's pretty well
But yeah, no, it's. I like it a lot. I laugh more.
What?
That's the thing. When hang out, that's the thing. I'm trying to
yeah, you hang out with friends.
Be happier, so I hang out with a bunch of comedians and I laugh more.
It's fun to hang out with comedians.
It's
They're fun people.
Here's the thing. Hanging out with comedians is the best thing
that's
in the world.
That's the most fun you can have.
It
They're
is
the fun people.
Better than hanging out with any other person.
Yeah.
They are better at the hanging out.
Yeah.
Because you laugh more, and laughing is pretty fantastic.
Yeah. Now, if you want to get shopping done, they're not the best people to hang out with. They're not organized.
No, the hanging out is the best. And I feel like my group of comedian friends are great hangout types.
Yeah.
Great stories and stuff. But yeah, that I like. That part's great. So yeah, I want to establish a new lifestyle that then I can be like, this is my lifestyle.
And invite whoever you want into that lifestyle.
Yeah, as opposed to like having that lifestyle be able to be pushed around. It's like, look, I hang out.
Would you try to change to please other women?
Oh, yeah.
Try to change who you were or try to change what you acted
I don't
like.
Even know that I ever asserted who I was in the first place.
Oh, right.
I mean, yourself. I throw around a lot of snide comments and a lot of shit like that. But like, as far as like the things I am, I don't know that they were ever clear on what I was. I probably was honest about what I didn't want to do. I don't like... I would be like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I should have done that stuff. I should have made more of an effort because then I would have gotten what I wanted in other areas.
Like what? What do you mean?
More sex, just them.
More of an effort to do what? Something you didn't want to
do. My last relationship, she wanted to travel more.
The 4 months one?
Or the, no.
The 6 years
long one? Long one. She wanted to travel more.
Yeah.
And go out. Go out and like meet people for drinks and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
I never wanted to do that stuff. If I had... I probably would have had an okay time because I'm sure the people that were going to be there would have been nice people and would have been funny.
Would have gotten you started.
And it would have made her feel like I was part of her life more, which then would have led to her liking me more, which would have led to me getting from her what I wanted more. Booty.
Booty.
But I didn't do that stuff because I was just like, I don't want that. And that was more about
me. Also, a lot of it's like, yeah.
That was me feeling bad about myself. They won't like me. They'll think I'm stupid. I'm a failure compared to them.
A lot of it's also like, I want to do fun things, and you're the person I want to do them with. It should be that.
It's a partnership.
And so then it's like, hey, let's go have fun with this.
I think women, a lot of times, what they look for in a relationship, because, you know, female friendships are strange. They seem to hate each other a lot and not like...
Girls hate other girls.
Yeah, their friendship seems to come and go. They have a new best friend a lot. It's rare you see a woman with a lot of very close friends.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of what they look for in a dude is someone who is on their side all the time. Even if you don't agree with me, we can argue about it later, but like in
just
front of
us,
you're on my side. It's team us.
Yeah.
We're in this together. And I think I did a shitty job at doing that.
I always had problems with that when I saw their behavior was like. One time it was Natasha and she we're at the M Bar for a show and Mike Favorman opened up the door for her. And this is the report I got from her was Mike Favorman. She goes, he opened the door for me and then went by him and then he was just really rude. He's like, oh, thanks for saying something. And I was like, so he held it open for you. You didn't say anything.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm like, I'm not going to get into the middle of a fight between you and Favorman.
Right.
You're both my friends.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. But it's like you're a grown woman. You can deal with it yourself, can't you?
Yeah.
But that I didn't stick up for her. She was real mad about it. But it was like, and then Favorman was like, yeah, I opened the door for her, and she just walked right by me.
But that's like a test.
I know it's a test, but those are shitty tests to me.
Oh, they're totally shitty tests.
It's like, well, I think you're wrong, and you should go say thank you for holding the door, but I'm sorry I didn't say anything.
They are shitty tests, but I don't think they know they're putting you to the test.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is. They don't know.
I don't think people know a lot of when you're doing something. I don't think people have a clear sense of what they're doing.
That's the animal instinct. It just takes over. You don't realize. You do a thing,
and then after the fact, you're like, "Oh, I was fucking doing that to you to test you." I think when I was being mean to my long relationship to her, I was basically saying, "I want to test to see how bad I can get. I want to see how shitty of a version of me you'll stick with."
The weird thing is you test them, but then you're like, cool, you pass the test. And you're like, now let me test you 80 more times.
Yeah, exactly.
In the exact same way. And let's see. I bet you won't pass eventually.
Yeah, you test them. They pass. Instead of rewarding them, you're like, cool, you pass. Let's try this again.
Let's try more tests.
It's garbage.
The Torah speaks about some guy. I forget his name.
The what?
The Torah. I think it might have been in the prophets. But this guy used to sleep with his friend's wife.
Okay.
And he was watching her or something while his friend's at war.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the friend was still alive. And he would sleep next to each other in a bed, and he put a sword in between the two of them.
Okay.
So that would stop him like rolling over, and that sword would remind him.
Right.
But he had her in the bed as a test to see, like, let me see if I can deny myself and not do this.
Right.
And they talk about it, the Rashi and all these people talk about it and like try to figure out what happened and like analyze it. And they're like, well, is this a good thing? He passed the test. And they all came to the same thing. It's like, don't test yourself.
No.
It's just there's no reason to enter
also,
that.
Also, test other people, not the ones that love you dearly.
Yeah.
Test them. Don't do that shit. How about...
Everyone does that in relationships, though.
No, it's so retarded. The person who is quite literally nicer to you than
anyone else in the world,
you are literally meaner to. It is the dumbest. And the people that are successful and have what you call a successful relationship, don't do that.
Do you think that's always going to happen, though, in relationships? After
no,
a certain amount of time?
I think you can stop it if you're diligent and remind yourself. I think you can go about it in a better way. I think you just have to treat it with the same amount of respect you treat doing other things in your life, like your career and things. Like a couple that I would deem successful is a guy I worked for. Him and his wife been together forever, Jews, and they just had they went on a date twice a week, and you could not get them to break it. It was important. They almost had scheduled sex.
Is that the one you did the drawings for?
Yeah, it was an art school, and
at art school,
I taught art lessons.
Oh, that's the Jew guy you worked for. I remember.
Yeah, great advice. And he gave me great advice.
And what did they say? They had sex a lot?
They like had scheduled times when they were going to bone. And they were in their 50s. And they just, they made their relationship a thing they worked on and tried at. Whereas I think a lot of times once someone loves you, you feel like you shouldn't have to try, which is not the case.
Right.
You still have to try. It's like...
But you don't try with your friends?
You do.
I guess you do, actually.
If you stop trying, you'll hear from them. Dude, you haven't called me forever.
But that's not you trying. You call them because you want to call them.
Okay, but if I don't call someone, some of my friends for a really long time, they'll be like, bro, where are you at?
Or you just stop talking to them. You're
you
like,
all right?
Oh, no, I haven't talked to that guy in 3 years.
Okay, but if it's been a real friendship, there's some friends who are like, dude, what the hell? It's been months.
Yeah.
I'm bad at that. So, like, I'll hear about it.
Yeah.
Just fucking try. Send a bitch flowers for no reason. Why'd you send me flowers? Because you're super hot. Send her flowers with nothing on the card. Why'd you send me those flowers? Because you're hot as fire. What?
Hot as fire.
What do you mean? You're super foxy, and I like your booty a lot. What? She'll ask you 37 questions and just stick with your story. I find you attractive.
Have you ever done that?
No. These are the things I've come
like
up with
idea.
Now. Yeah. Dude, it's a totally good idea.
There's all these advice I give to people, too, and they're like, have you tried that? I'm like, oh, no.
A friend of mine...
I'd love to be able to.
A friend of mine was in a relationship recently, and he told me he did this thing with this girl where she was like, she'd never heard music by this one person, some, you know, kind of 70s love music type. She's like, you've never heard that? So he played it for her, and they're in, like, the kitchen, and they're kind of, like, really close to each other, and he kind of, like, sang it quietly into her ear. And he's like, dude, she still talks about it.
Really?
Like, it was just, like, the most romantic thing. It was a little vulnerable. It's like you send a woman flowers on a Wednesday for no reason to her work. All her friends see it, and they're like, he loves you so much. He's pussy-whipped. You could construe it as being a little vulnerable.
Yeah.
Well, you don't care because you fucking like her too much.
Yeah.
So she gets that. She's like, he doesn't give a shit what anyone thinks because he loves me so much. Guess what you're getting later? Probably a beach.
Yeah, or at least some good times.
Yeah.
Somebody writes you back on that site?
No. Dean Del Rey just texted me about Rolexes.
Fuck him. Talk more about Danny with an I.
Yeah, I just think it's that. That's the kind of thing I would like to try to do if I get into a situation. Just fucking try a little harder, because that shit is so easy. But you spend too much. You make the wrong things important in life a lot of the time.
Huh? Maybe you're right.
The shit that doesn't matter. You care about the opinion of people that aren't an important part of your life more than you care about the opinion of someone who is an important part.
Wait, but did you care about that with the one who lived here with you?
I think I did, and then it went away.
You think you care more about her? But you care about what other people thought of you? That we said?
I think I cared. I started to care less and less about what she thought of me. You make other people's opinions become more valid. But that's just like a life thing. Because you it's not that you care less. You take the way they feel about you for granted. Oh, you love me. You said so. So I don't have to think about it anymore. I'm going to worry about the way other people feel about me.
Right.
And then,
that, try to win them over.
Yes. Yeah, so you don't spend any time trying to do nice things for them, because you just assume it.
Somebody said this about crowds once, and how it's like you focus on the two people that aren't laughing.
Yeah.
Out of the 50 that are.
Neil said something about that once. He was like, great, two less people I have to entertain. Oh, fuck them.
That's funny. But I heard it said once, like, everyone, like, focuses on them and tries to get them to laugh.
Yeah.
But they're like, why? They're not laughing. Go entertain more of the people that are your awesome
entertain
audience.
Entertain the 98 that like
you. Yeah, they like you. Just spend time pleasing those people.
Yeah. That's the thing, is you don't... You take them for granted when they say they love you, and then you treat them bad. It's really stupid.
So what are you going to do in your next relationship?
I think I'd like to try harder.
You should like something super casual, like, let's go out once every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And we'll bone, you know, when we do, but just casual.
I am open to that happening. I just, you know.
You're a super cute guy, man.
Thank you. I'm also, you know, I'm not in situations where I meet girls that often.
You got money?
I don't have a lot of money.
But I mean, enough that you can, like, afford a fucking diner.
We can go to dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but I'm not in a situation where I meet lots of girls. I spend a lot of time by myself, or I'm at a comedy club, which I don't know. Girls don't come up to me after sets.
I bet they do.
They don't.
But they say hi.
They don't.
Yeah, me neither, actually. It's tough after sets. They really have to do all the work for you and say, yeah. Hey, what do you... That's tough.
No, they don't come up to me. Most girls at a comedy club are there with a dude. They're on a date.
That's true, too. I've gotten somebody's number, though, while they're on a date with somebody, especially if it's an early date.
Of course you did.
If you're in the back.
It's because you're a garbage person.
No, she was like, I'm on a date. It's not, I don't know. It's not going that well.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
Well, give me your number.
But yeah, I'm not exposed to a lot of girls, and I'm not letting people set me up. That I could, if I unleashed that, it'd be an avalanche.
What?
Setups.
Oh, yeah.
Because
that just implies that you really want to date them.
Well, the thing I've noticed is women will set a female friend of theirs up with anyone, regardless.
Just so they'll have someone.
If it's their type, women want to set you up with basically their loneliest friend.
When people try to set me up, I'm like, are you friends with them? Like, it's not going to go well for them. You're going to get in the way between the two of us.
They're like, oh my God, you should go out with my friend. Have you shown her my picture? And she was like, holy shit, that guy's so hot. Then if you haven't, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
No.
My thing is, like, would they be cool to just fuck once in a while and not get anything long term? Because that's really what I'm looking for. So it's going to be weird if they're not into
I'm not
that.
Being set up. I'm done with that. It's weird.
You've gotten set up before?
Yeah, I went on a couple blind dates right after I got single.
Wow.
They were fine. I mean, the thing, my friend put it perfectly, is like, the problem with a blind date is you spend the entire time making sure it's not awkward. So at the end of the date, you have no idea if you find each other attractive.
Yeah, you're not casual and cool with them.
No.
The best way to find a relationship is like when you're in college, you hang out with them every day.
Yeah.
Then after a while, you're like, I start to like that person.
You are exposed to them, and you see what they're about on a regular basis.
And you like
basis.
Them instead of this version of them.
Yeah. Whereas a blind date, everyone's on their best behavior. So you actually don't get to know anything. Yeah, it's just awkward. And I honestly think women set their female friends up with people regardless of whether or not they're attracted to them. Just because in my age group, I'm in my mid-30s, since I am not fat, I am not bald, and I own a home, I am deemed extremely appealing to women my age. So a lot of the women my age are just like, holy shit! I know 30 women! And it's just, that's not, that doesn't mean we're going to like each other.
Yeah.
So it's not conducive. And yeah, also what we talked about, women my age are really pissed.
Yeah. What are they pissed about, do you think?
Life. They're mad.
Why are they mad?
They're mad at the men that hurt them.
Because it hasn't worked out exactly like they wanted it to?
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't blame them.
I think they all get this fairy tale version of reality, too.
Well, everybody does.
And then but they're the still mad that it's...
cruel reality is a lot easier for men as they get older.
Yeah, well, when men see that it's not the fairy tale, but they're like, oh, but this life ain't that bad. You mean I can just have random sex sometimes and also, like, be into my fun friends? And
I mean, look, I was mad. When I noticed how angry women my age were, I was like, that's bullshit. But then, like, you know, the women, my ex is probably angry and I'm the reason. I did it to her. Oh. So, like, I can't be mad at these other women. They made
they
the
had
same.
Some other Kevin?
Yeah, I didn't do it to him, but somebody did. Life's awful.
Yeah, you weren't as good with her.
Life's hard. No, I wasn't.
You were more lame.
I was lame.
You were less fun.
Less fun and lame. And I thought that was like me being generous.
That was from the start, though.
Well, I was lame.
No, you weren't lame. You became lame once you got into it.
I'm not good at it. I let them turn me into less of a man immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that's what they want. I think they want like this like nice guy who is there for them in every way. And where do you want to go, honey? And that's not what they want. They want a guy. They want a man. Man with opinions who wants things and knows what he wants and then does it. They don't want a pushover. No one likes it.
Nobody likes a pushover. Even dudes don't like other dudes in their lives.
I don't want a woman who's a pushover. I don't want a pushover.
Yeah.
It's not appealing. It's weak. No one likes weakness. And I think I've let myself become weak. I mean, I don't know if I was weak with them all the time, especially not in the beginning, but eventually I became it. I became that like slump-shouldered husband type, like, okay, honey. Well, no. Who wants to fuck that? No one.
No one wants that slump-shouldered person.
People magazine's sexiest man in the world is rarely a balding, slump-shouldered wuss. It's rarely that person. It's usually a strapping man who is in very good shape and looks like he could fight.
It looks like he could, yeah.
Yeah, and they deem him what's known as sexy, which means that people are sexually attracted to him. I have a tendency to get women attracted to me for, like, on paper reasons. I'm secure, I'm nice, I'm clean, and I own a home.
And they'll be into you for that.
Yeah. Women have a tendency to be into me for the other stuff, not the, like, looks and the physical prowess.
Well, that's one of the things girls look for in a man, too.
Security.
By the way, I'm trying to find this ProFlowers link to give people. But I don't know what it is.
Send your lady out-of-context flowers. This is, okay, if you want a one-sentence piece of advice from this podcast, be out-of-context romantic. Valentine's Day is for fucking amateurs.
Yeah, it's expected.
Do
it on fucking March 30th.
It's expected. Do some out-of-context fun stuff. If you're a woman, text your boyfriend, kind of want to get weird with you right now.
Wow.
Now, don't do that if you absolutely don't want to get weird under any circumstances, because when it comes to cash that check, you're going to be dry as a bone. It's not going to be fun. But, like, remind him that you find him attractive. You'll be shocked at how good it'll make him treat you. And if you're a dude, do some public... Like, if she has a job and there's girls at her job she kind of hates, which means she has a job, there's, of course, girls there she kind of hates, send her some fucking flowers. Like, hey, hot bitch. Write on it, what's up, hot bitch? From me. It'll make the girl she hates at her office so pissed.
That'll be pretty cool.
It'll make Tina so mad.
Go through my website to get the flowers.
Go to the website.
And go to proflowers.com.
Proflowers.com. Just do shit like that.
Yeah.
Be like, you know who's hot? ? And they'll be like, who? She'll think you're going to tell her about her friend or something you saw on TV. You are.
You are.
You are.
Oh.
I told a friend of mine who
I
love dearly.
You think that won't?
It will work. I told a friend of mine who I love dearly. He's a guy.
A lot of guys would say.
He just constantly notices beautiful women. And he's not being lecherous. He's not going to hand me. He's like, look at the face on this lady, right? She's got a model face. And I was like, stop doing that in front of your wife. He's like, she doesn't care. I'm like, nah, stop it.
She cares a little.
Everyone cares. Everyone cares. Everyone wants to feel attractive. Everyone wants to feel like they're hot. Everyone wants to feel cool. Everyone wants to feel like there's someone in the world that wants to rip their clothes off and do it to them. So if you're in a relationship, make that person feel that way. You'll both be happier.
Yeah.
And then the world will be a utopia of fucking.
Will be a utopia of what? Of fucking?
Yeah. Be a giant fuck party.
What would you say to the guys who would say, like, no, then you'll be a pushover and then she won't take you seriously?
No.
She won't respect you.
You want both. That's not being a saying you find your wife hot or your girlfriend hot isn't being a pushover. It's saying, here's what I want, and I'm saying it. It's like saying, no, I want to go get ribs. Instead of ribs, you're saying, no, I want your butt later. And she's like, shut up. No, I'm serious. Your butt is awesome, and I want it. That's why I want it. I want butt later. Like, well, I want ribs. Why? Because they're delicious, and I love ribs.
Just like your butt?
It's assertive. Yeah. It's like, no, you're hot, and I want you. We're together for a reason because you're foxy, and I want it. It's not weak. Weak is like sending a text like, hey, like, if you're not tired, could I maybe get a hand job later? Or like, yeah, how about some sex?
You sound like the principal from Beavis and Butthead.
Right. Did I tell you I auditioned for a show and it's a Mike Judge show.
Oh, yeah.
And I, at the callback, he was there and listening to him talk was the best because he sounds exactly like it. Like after a take, he was like, that was like really good.
Wow.
Maybe like, let's do another one, but just
like, let's do tons more.
Make him less angry. And I was like, this is the coolest shit ever. It's so cool listening to you talk right now. I can barely handle it. But yeah, just that's assertive. It's not weak. Don't be weak about it. Be like, you're hot and you're my woman and I want to bone you.
Yeah.
I mean, find better wording.
But that's pretty close though.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Wrong wording.
You know what it's like? It's some girlfriend boyfriend shit.
Yeah.
Treat him like you treated him early on. Remind him of that stuff.
Yeah.
Why not?
In public.
Yeah. Be like, yeah, it's like you look hot as hell. Tell him they look hot. Our society.
Damn.
I was thinking about this today. The fashion industry. The fashion industry puts fucking teenagers in adult women's clothes and says and makes you look at them like they're an adult woman. So adult women are held to that retarded standard. Women are told they're not attractive enough every second. So be a contrarian. I think you're hot as hell. Shut up. No, I'm not. I think you look good as hell right now. I don't. I think you do. Even if she argues with you, it'll be in her head. Well, you know what? He thinks I'm hot.
Friend Aziz told me this. He used to do this with Tracy, but I liked it. Whenever he would get a boner, he'd like just go rub it against her.
Yeah.
Like, look what you got me going.
Look what you did.
Yeah.
Look what you did. It reminds them that they have that ability.
Yeah.
He's like, why do that? It's lame. Well, so you instead you want it to disappear? The inverse of that is
gone forever,
they think in their head, I cannot give my significant other an erection anymore.
So I should find someone else who really likes me.
Just fucking try, man. Treat them how they deserve. They're nicer to you than anyone else. If they're meaner to you than anyone else, fuck them. Get away from them. But if they're not,
you can also buy them something nice on Amazon through my website.
Amazon.com link. Out of context niceness.
Yeah, I remember Simone buying me a t-shirt once. Just some truck stop t-shirt he found.
Yeah, you've done that for me.
It's like, oh, cool.
It means you thought of me.
Yeah.
When no one told you to.
Yeah, on Christmas, like, oh, you don't have to give me a Christmas present.
You ever text someone, thought about, when you're first dating someone, you're always texting, you're like, thought about fucking you all day.
Pretty hot.
Yeah. Do that.
I love getting texts.
If you've been
girls.
In a relationship more than 3 years, do it right now. Thought
love
about boning you.
Girls going like,
thought about boning you all day. She'd be like, what? Well, you were at work at the plant?
<That's>
yeah.
Right. Remember that scene in 8 Mile where he's going to fuck that chick who died?
Mm-hmm.
But tearing down her skirt and stuff. And you think
she licks
fucking,
her hand.
But then she licks her hand. She fucking...
The hottest thing ever.
Good.
God bless her.
I'll get you
God
in
bless,
there.
God bless
I'll get
her
you
soul.
In there right now.
Rest her soul. Nice lady from what I've always been told by people that knew her.
Really?
Yeah, she said she was the nicest person ever.
But what a great scene. Look in your hand. It's just so hot.
Just... I mean, you found them hot at one point. Remind yourself, and if you're a dude, I know it's hard to hear. Don't look at porn.
I will say this: this is what
don't jerk off to porn.
Not Mike Kaplan.
Try not to.
Who's that guy who moved here? He's funny. Maybe you were telling me about him. Black hair, real like he looks conservative as shit.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy Jonigan.
Funny man.
Yeah, and he was telling me how he came to L.A. and he hated L.A.
Mm-hmm.
and he moved here, but he had to for business, whatever. It was only like a year ago they moved here.
Right.
And he would just hate it. And he would tell everybody, they're like, oh, do you like LA? You're new here? And he goes, no, I hate it. And they're like, why do you hate it? And he'd have to say the reasons why he hated it.
Right.
And after like enough times and enough parties, he just got sick of saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Because he knows, if I say I hate it, you're going to ask me why. I'm going to say the same things. You're going to say this. And I'm going to say the same thing back.
All you know about me is that I complain about things.
Yeah. And so he just said it would be easier to, instead of having to go through it, because it's like, you're not going to change my opinion. So I'll just say, I really like it.
Yeah.
And then after he said that enough times, and people are like, oh, the weather, right? And he'd be like, yeah, the weather's really nice. And he'd start believing the things he was saying.
Yeah.
He'd be like, yeah, the weather is really nice here.
Yep.
And then he'd start focusing on those things. And I think maybe for this relationships too, if you just tell somebody, you really turn me on, after a while, it's not like you don't believe that it's true, but after a while, you just take it into your heart, maybe.
Well, and they'll start behaving in a way that turns you on.
Yeah.
If, like, every dude who's been in a relationship more than 2 years goes through the awkward moment when your girl cuts her bangs.
Uh-huh.
She freaks out because it's a long-term investment. Tell her you like her fucking bangs, even if you don't.
Yeah.
You're going to tell her you don't? And then what? She feels worse about herself around you? So then she feels less attractive, which makes her want to take her clothes off less.
Yeah, the only time to tell them not to get something is when they're not having bought it yet. If you're at the store with them and like, what do you think of this? And go, oh no, don't get that.
But don't even say it like that. Go, I don't know, I like the other one better.
Oh, wow.
Think about the effect more than, think about the effect of what you're going to do.
Yeah.
It's hard. That's the thing. It takes mental work.
Are you thinking you're going to go right back to another thing?
Nah. I don't think, I think it's going to be a lot harder for me
to
meet
someone.
What if
you found some girl? Because you would have, on this last girl, you would have, the 4 month girl.
Yeah.
You would have gone all in on that.
I would have.
Luckily, it didn't work out sooner. If it didn't work out,
to be honest with you, it was
later.
The first time as a person I didn't just stick it out.
Instead of saying, like, why am I doing this?
This is the first time anymore. I've ever been like, this isn't working, so stop doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That said, I mean, I will say this. All the women I've dated have been great women.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been really lucky. None of them are bad people at all. They're all great women. A lot of it, most of the problems in all of my relationships have to do with me and the way I behave and the way I feel about myself. I most of the time punish the people I'm in relationships with because of how I feel about myself.
Sounds awesome. Sounds like a great person to be with.
I think, yeah, it's not. So I need to stop doing that because it's not conducive to a successful relationship.
Do you think that's important enough? A lot of people have like, oh, you got to have a successful relationship. I got to do everything to build a successful relationship. But I think sometimes, like, why is that a thing you have to have?
It depends on what you want. Building a successful relationship is a lot about the later years in life.
Yeah.
When life gets really hard and really embarrassing, you kind of want to have someone there.
I guess so.
Because let me tell you something.
You can't mortgage your whole life just so someone will wipe your fucking pudding off your lips.
You really want to be 70. Scared and feeble?
No.
Last 20 years of your life?
No. Do you want to be miserable for the first 40 years before getting to that?
I don't know. You're not going to... You're really going to spend your 70s and 80s going, yeah, but my 40s were great.
No. Whenever you are, you're going to regret not...
I don't know.
Not having a thing that
I mean,
have.
I'm not in a relationship now. I don't love
what
it.
What if your wife dies at 68 in a car accident and
you don't
get anything?
I don't love being single now. There's parts of it I really don't like.
Like what?
These women don't know me.
Which, new women?
Yeah. They don't know shit about me.
There is something nice to having someone who really just knows
you. Okay, something good happened to me recently. Uh-huh. And I called my ex because she's the only one who would understand why it was such a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
I literally texted her. I was like, there's something that happened to me. It's awesome and I have no one to share it with.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
That sounds sad.
And it's not that I couldn't share it with the new people I know, but they don't know the context. They don't know how hard it was for me. They don't know why it's important. Like, I didn't have to explain it.
Yeah.
Oh, this took me forever. It was really hard. No one gave a shit. Now it seems like people give a shit. It's like, you don't get that because you didn't watch me.
What was it you were sharing with them?
Things in stand-up have been getting better.
Oh.
People have been noticing me. I got new agents that are better. Like, it's just like stuff like that. And it's like, a new person doesn't get that, like, it took me forever.
To get that,
and
yeah.
No one cared. Yeah. No one was like, that guy's good. And so, like, that's happening even the tiniest bit now.
I like it when a girl will get excited for you, and you're like, do you understand what this is? Because I think so. I think I understand it for your sake.
I could call my ex, and she knew instantly.
Wow.
Borderline cried. Really? She was happy for me. Yeah.
The fiance?
Yeah. She was fucking happy for me.
How did that
one
break
up? Remembers how awful it was for me when I felt like no one cared.
How did that one break up when it was time to break up?
She had moved out.
Oh, yeah.
And she was somewhere else. And her sister moved to New York, so her sister was going to sublet her apartment. And I said, you know, we were just kind of like, I think you should take her apartment.
Yeah.
Just because it was like the time of her being out was just like kind of a relief for both of us.
Yeah.
It's a relief.
You did couples counseling too, huh?
Yeah.
Does that help at all?
No. Actually, my therapist is a couples therapist also, and I said, I feel like couples therapy is the thing you do when it's too late, but you want to say you tried everything. And she said, yeah, kind of.
It's sort of, it's like, oh, this really isn't working out.
I mean, the best advice I got was from my friend Jerry. He was like, should it be this hard?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be this hard to stay together.
Yeah.
You know? We get along better now that we're not dating. Because there's no life shit.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about socks being on the floor.
Yeah, you're not worried about the water heater malfunctioning. It's my problem. It's not our problem.
Yeah.
So I can deal with it. I went 3 weeks without hot water because I was too lazy to deal with it. And I was like, this is my life. I hate it, but I'm too lazy to deal with it right now.
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
I'll just work around
it. You really think that would have flown with someone else in the house?
I boiled pots of water and then made a bath. Because like, oh, fuck, I forgot to call again for hot water.
I was taking fucking whore baths.
Whore baths.
Because the dude, but you think that goes over with a person living in your home?
What should I call this episode?
The truth.
The truth. I can't call it that.
Call it a love harder. Try harder.
Try harder.
Try harder. Be nice to them. I know you're mad at them, and I know they're mad at you.
Like those names.
I know they're. I know you're fucking pissed at each other. I know you are. I know you're pissed at each other.
Yeah.
But they care more about you than anyone else in the world. Your parents don't give a shit about you that much anymore past a certain age. They just want you not to die.
How about the War of Roses?
I was like, shut up.
How about...
They care about you a lot.
Yeah, they do.
Focus on how much they care about you as opposed to how pissed you are at them about something that doesn't matter.
God, you just get mad.
You just get so mad.
But that's roommate shit, too.
Okay, but you're not mad at them about the thing you're mad at them about. You're mad at that thing, and then you're mad about the other nine things.
Yeah, you take it out on them. I used to realize this when I went on the road with Rogan and Red Band and stuff, and I'd get like... They'd be like, you know, we gotta go get the car. I'm like, let's get the car. It's just right here. Let's just have it scheduled ahead of time.
Yeah,
we don't have to do. But then I realized, like, oh, I'm just tired.
Yeah,
so I'm cranky.
I've stopped worrying about stuff as much, just about being late. I'm just like, it'll be whatever it is.
Yeah,
and I'll deal with it when it comes time to deal with it, as opposed to worrying about it leading up to it. Just be nicer to them. Be nice to them. They'll be nice to you back. You'll be happier.
Or just break up.
Or break up. If they're a dick to you, break up for no reason. Yeah. But try being nicer for a little while before you decide they're a bad person. Because I bet you it has a lot to do with both of you. If you're nice to them for a long time and they're not nice
about
you... I would
like to see how that works if somebody actually tries that hard. Because I think relationships are just doomed from the start. And that will always turn into that.
Also, if you're... Okay, the tough thing about being the man or being a man is... You got to know... You got to be very... Think about when it's time to be a man and when it's time to not.
Yeah.
You got to be a man sometimes and be like, no. Say no and assert yourself. They don't want to be... The thing is, they don't want to be with someone weak. Why would they? Yeah. So don't be a pushover. Don't be a pussy.
Pussy.
But also, you know, treat them like they're your girl. She's your girl. I have no idea what gay relationships are like, but it's in heterosexual relationships.
Yeah.
If you're the man, she's your girl, man.
You
remind her why you wanted her to become your girl in the first place.
Yeah, how do gay relationships work with that?
They I don't know.
But they both just
treat each other well. I wonder how that goes.
Gay relationships, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, just try to be nicer, I guess. Everyone should be nicer in general.
All right, that's
nice. It's kind of a squishy thing to kind of to try to title.
Everyone should be nicer in general.
Call it fuck party.
I don't think that would probably...
No, because that's what you'll get if it works.
How to get a fuck party.
How to find your fuck party.
How to find your fuck party.
Yeah.
Monogamous fuck party.
How to find a monogamous fuck party. Adding some spice.
How about just monogamous fuck parties?
Monogamous fuck party. Yeah, that's good. Monogamous fuck party.
Oh, I don't think I say fuck for iTunes.
Okay.
How about a screw convention?
Monogamous hump zone. Monogamous hump convention.
Monogamous hump convention?
Yeah, monogamous hump convention. You know what you should call it? Dry humping. Because remember when you first start dating someone, you'll dry hump for a week. It's so exciting.
Yeah.
Find that again.
Find your dry hump.
Find your dry hump.
Maybe that's the title.
Find your dry hump with that bitch.
Find your dry hump with that bitch.
You can't say bitch, but
find your dry hump.
Dry humping. Find your dry hump.
Okay.
You know, remember, you just wanted them on you. You didn't care.
Yeah. Rub.
You're on a dance floor. Just rubbing. Find your dry hump, man. Over the bra.
Over bra, yeah.
Over the bra is exciting.
Over clothes stuff.
Just, you know, I don't know. Your girl's hot to you. Reminder.
All right.
How long did this go?
An hour and 50 minutes.
God, we know. Okay.
All right. So you have anything to add? I think you just did, right?
Yeah.
Where are you going to be? What do you want to promote?
I'm always at the West Side Comedy Theater on Sundays. Neil Brennan, friends. I'm going to be on an upcoming episode of The New Normal.
The New Normal. That's with the gay couple?
With the gay couple. You can see me on that.
When is that going to air?
I think next week.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So West Side
Theater. I'm at an MTV Comedy Showcase at the Laugh Factory on March 20th. Please come to that.
Okay, there you go. That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Mostly LA listeners. March 20th.
March 25th at the Public House.
Wait, is it a different one?
Different one.
Oh.
March 20th at the Laugh Factory. March 25th at the Public House.
What's the 25th?
Public
Just a regular
house.
Show?
Regular set. Public
Can't
House.
Can't promote those.
Okay, sorry. March 20th. March 20th at the Laugh Factory. MTV Showcase.
Yeah. What time? 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock. Viacom's
March 20th?
Coming. Yeah. Viacom's coming out to see me.
So it's an important one for you.
Yeah.
So come to that. So we'll come do well. That. We'll do a showcase set.
Do a showcase set.
Or Kevin is at the Comedy Store all the time.
Yep.
And your house. Website? You don't have one?
Art website, KevinSaysHi.com. Follow Kevin me on Instagram. Hi. Follow me on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Twitter's
at
your
Kevin
thing.
Kevin G. Christie.
Okay.
Enjoy it.
You're a good Twitter. I
Push.
Tell people. How many followers do you have now?
14,128.
You deserve more based on the amount of good tweets and lack of.
No promotions.
Because you got nothing to promote, so it's pretty awesome.
Even if I did, I only promote anything once.
One time.
I promote any gig once. And I don't reply to people. I don't talk to my friends on Twitter.
Oh,
so there's
don't?
Not a lot of that. There's not a lot of like, ha!
Oh, so you just look over your feed and get a lot out
my
of it.
My feed is all jokes.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Cool. Kevin G. Kevin G. Christie.
At Kevin G. Christie.
All right, thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
I hope you find true love
in
a non-monogamous.
You're a worthless fucking piece of shit.
All right.
Okay.
I am doll parts, bed skin, doll heart. It's dance for night.
Okay, that's it. That's the episode. Yeah, not as funny as some of the other ones, but interesting nonetheless. Please remember to go to my website, arithegreat.com, and the 2013 tour shirts are in, as is my album, the CDs. You can also get the CDs when you get my special. Go to chill.com/Ari. And my special Passive Aggressive is right there for $5. For $20, you can get the special and the CD delivered to you, a signed CD delivered to you. They don't include shipping. So even if you're overseas, fucking get that shit. That's a bargain. Because I'll charge you $10 for shipping. Because fuck your C's. So yeah, that was interesting, Kevin. Yeah, I know he's going to, I don't know. I still feel like they lie to you all the time. People, couples in general, parents, they just lie to you by omission, by not telling you what the real deal is. They always say, oh, you got to find a boyfriend, you got to find a girlfriend. But at the same time, they never say like, oh, it's going to be a lot of hard work and you're going to hate the fuck out of her. You're going to hate him. You're going to hate his guts. You're going to hate her guts. At times, I remember having this guy I know, he used to do comedy with, and I asked him once, I broke up with somebody, and I asked him, like, do you ever, like, fall out of love with your wife? He's been with his girl, with his wife for a long time, they had, like, 3 kids. He goes, oh, yeah, maybe for 6 months at a time. But then you find a reason to love them again. And I was like, whoa, you fall out of love for 6 months? And part of me was like, that's amazing, you can make that work again. And the other part of me was like, well, why wouldn't you just break up then? Why maintain this horrible thing for 6 months just so you can hope to fall in love with them again for a little while? It's like, it ain't worth it. Just go find someone else. Find new love. I don't know. There are nice parts about it, though. It is nice to have someone really, really know you. In that terms, in that aspect, he's completely right. Anyway, everybody, that's the episode. If you have any suggestions, please feel free to email me. I got a few. I'm looking for, if anybody knows in Vancouver, if anybody knows a good heroin addict, I'm looking to go. And also, if anybody wants to go skiing, I think I'm going to get in there early. I'm going to get there the day before I start, I think on Wednesday, and maybe go skiing at one of those resorts right outside there. Because that'd be cool, right? 21st, 22nd, 23rd. So maybe I get there on the 20th. And go skiing all day at Cypress or one of those other mountains that are right in town. So if anyone wants to go, let me know. And depending on the level of creepiness of your letter or Twitter, I might take you up on it. Or I might just take a bus down there. But if you want to email me, it's contact@arishafir.com or contact@arithegreat.com. They'll both get through to my regular email. Yeah, go to my website. Go to the forum on my website, too, where you talk about different episodes and stuff. If you go to my website, arithegreat.com, there's a link for forum. And, yeah, you can just go discuss shit and whatever else. All right, so I'm super excited about my move to New York sometime in April. We'll see. I'm sort of excited and also like, whoa, I got to get into clubs. I got to find like furniture, like move in. I haven't moved somewhere in a long time. It's been like 10 years. I've forgotten how. You call the gas company and tell them to turn on the gas again? I've forgotten how that's all done. Anyway. So starting in fully in May, I'll be doing spots all around town in New York City. So if you're a fan from New York, if you came to my taping in Brooklyn for Passive Aggressive, that's available now, chill.com/Ari, for only $5. You get 5 free downloads and 5 free streams, 5 downloads of the HD version, 5 downloads of the SD version, and 5 streams, all for just $5. And you can pay with PayPal or credit card. All right, so, but if you were there, I'm doing all new material by now, so it's all great. And if you're coming to Vancouver shows, all new material. Don't worry about anything you've seen. So go ahead and get, if you've been holding out, just get the special. It won't be the same at all. It's time to get it. All right, guys. For Kevin Christie, for Ari Shafir, and follow me on Twitter, too, by the way. Oh, I meant to talk about that fucking site. All right, somebody remind me next week to talk about that site that Kevin and I talk about. What is it? I've been doing this all day. It's going to waste so much of my time. Tinder. Oh, no Annie, no Anna, no Chrissy, no Catherine, no Melissa. Why two pictures? No Amalia. Ugh, don't have a picture with a guy in it. Yeah, you, Maya, you're in. Julia, no. Kat, yeah, nice hat. Carly, yes, you're in. Tiffany. Weird, I don't know what racial makeup you are. I'll date a chick from another race, but I need to know what you are. All right, you guys. Thank you very much for coming and tuning in every week. Please tell your friends about this podcast. Tell them to start with something extra funny, like episode 100, where we talked about delivery drivers all day and some of the funniest stories in the world. Or the last one I did with Kevin, with Tom Segura about jerking off. Don't tell them about the serious ones. Or if you want to tell them about the serious ones, tell them about like the Holocaust episode or the one of the Sarah Tiana episodes. One of like the, you know, the tear jerkers. Or the Brody Stevens one. That was a good one. The Nut House. Anyway, so Ari Shafir for Kevin Christie. Ari Shafir, Skeptic Tech, episode 106. Find your dry hump. Over and out. Now,
a word from the president.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. Getting voted into the White House. Everything looking good to the people of the world, but the Murphy family is my boss. So every now and then I hold a favor here and there, like letting a big drug shipment through and send them to the poor community so we can bust you know who. The voters of the world keep supporting me, and I promise to take you very far. Other leaders better not upset me, or I'll send a million troops to die at war. To all you Republicans that helped me to win, I sincerely like to thank you. Cause now I got the world swinging from my nuts, and damn it feels good to be a gangster.